is Scores, S-C-O-R-E-S, your Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System.
We tried numerous accounting firms before we ran across Reese Meyering, and we've stuck with them for the last 25 years.
Ron Elmore, the president of Southtown Painting in Miamisburg. It may employ as many as 100 people. Southtown has benefited greatly from the partnership with Reese Meyering and Company, CPAs and business consultants in Fort Loramie.
What a professional company. I wouldn't know what to do without Reese Meyering and Company.
Reese Meyering, located in Fort Loramie, and Southtown Painting here in Miamisburg. With remote access through computers to Reese Meyering's accounting software, it's as if there's no distance at all.
Wow, like your next-door neighbors.
It is. Thanks to Reese Meyering and the Internet, it's always a speedy and efficient accounting process.
Reese Meyering performs tax and financial services for you or your business. This full-service firm completes controllership functions like payroll, payables, receivables, accounting software setup, and consulting for business startups.
Southtown Painting would recommend Reese Meyering for accounting for any company, large or small.
Phone Kevin Meyering at 937-295-3813 for Reese Meyering and Company, CPAs and business consultants.
They're flexible, they're professional, easy to work with. That's Reese Meyering.
It's Pretzelfest at Frisch's, and we're celebrating fall with our new Pretzel Bacon Beer Cheeseburger. Made to order with a fresh, never-frozen beef patty topped with American cheese, crispy bacon, onion rings, and warm, gooey beer cheese on a fresh pretzel bun. Oh, yeah! Or get the party started with an order of our new soft pretzel sticks, served with a side of warm beer cheese. Festive, delicious, and sure to become your new fall favorites. It's Pretzelfest at Frisch's. Stop in or order online at frisch's.com, DoorDash, and Uber Eats.
What's your favorite thing at Frisch's in Troy, Tip City, and Sydney?
Struggling with lower back pain? Recovering from an injury? Jim Spitzer at Pinnacle Sports Therapy in Fort Loramie can make sure you get the care you need to get you back to your normal activities sooner and to get you moving forward again. Jim Spitzer at Pinnacle Sports Therapy has 21 years experience in outpatient settings and treating athletes of all types. He's a fully qualified and licensed physical therapist and a good guy to know. Jim develops a customized treatment plan and a specialized home program. He treats all kinds of sports injuries, plus orthopedic neck and back pain, bulging discs, headaches, and other ailments. Pinnacle Sports Therapy accepts all major insurances. A doctor's referral may not be needed. For 14 years, Jim Spitzer has served all ages at Versailles Physical Therapy and Sports Rehabilitation in Versailles. Pinnacle Sports Therapy, 700 East Park in Fort Loramie. Phone 937-419-1491 to start moving forward.
Every day, banks help support us as we turn life's goals into major accomplishments. These are goals like saving for college, opening a small business, purchasing a home, planning a wedding, buying a car, and more. From your first savings account to a new life after retirement, make Osgood Bank your partner through it all. Visit osgoodbank.com today to see about turning your dreams into reality. Do well. Be good. Osgood Bank. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. osgoodbank.com.
Street sweepers and snow removers. For such equipment, a local employer manufactures quality replacement parts used across the nation. Close to home, Locale Equipment extends to students at Jackson Center High School the opportunity for a quality college education.
We know the importance of educating right now our future workforce and community leaders.
Locale's Roger Dietrich.
That's why we support Jackson Center High School with scholarships so students can go on and learn career skills.
Jackson Center students and their student athletes have benefited greatly from Locale Equipment for their scholarships. These student athletes have completed their degrees at universities and have started outstanding careers.
Locale began in L.A., California. It moved to Shelby County in 1982, and the community and Jackson Center students are proud.
Thanks so much to Locale for supporting Jackson Center High School.
We are Locale Equipment.
A big reason why Shelby County is a great place to call home.
Regal Trophy and Awards in Sydney has a corner on the market, and for a couple of very good reasons, quality and reliability. You see, for a long time, businesses throughout the region have counted on Regal for custom nameplates, badges, signs, and various industrial engraving.
Wayne Trail has partnered with Regal Trophy and Awards for many years. They have given us a quality product, always at a reasonable price, and completed our projects in a timely fashion. They've been a great vendor to work with, and we're more than pleased with everything they do for us.
Need trophies, plaques, and awards? Many colleges and schools, including Sydney High School, have preferred Regal forever.
When I think Regal Trophy, the first thing that comes to mind is the Worman family. They take pride in every trophy that's produced. Regal Trophy and Awards has been in their family forever. Sydney Athletics, they've been our only vendor for 30-plus years, and I know at every event that they're a part of, our student-athletes are going to leave with an award that is befitting the efforts they've put forward.
Put a big smile on everyone's face with Regal Trophy and Awards. 1269 Wapak in Sydney at regaltrophyawards.com. Regal for the crowning touch.
This scoresbroadcast.com high school sports presentation is brought to you by these 12 anchor sponsors. American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie, your amazing glass connection. AAG Inc. is the industry's clear choice. Airstream in Jackson Center, expand your career. Join the growing team now at Airstream. Barker Insurance on the north edge of Sydney, south of Anna on 25A, your number one insurance agency in the region. Barker, for sure. Clancy's Restaurant on Wapakoneta Avenue in Sydney. Clancy's, nothing fancy, just fantastic food. Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. Hundreds of brands, four locations, one solution. Goffney Furniture and Mattress Center in Sydney. High quality furniture, priced right. We've got you covered. G-O-F-F-E-N-A. GoffneyFurniture.com. Lacow Equipment in Jackson Center, a Scores founding partner in 2006. Quality parts for highway maintenance equipment all over the world. Frisch's in Sydney, Troy, and Tip City, home of the great Big Boy and delicious pumpkin pie. What's your favorite thing at Frisch's? Osgood Bank in Osgood and Chickasaw in Mercer County and in Fort Loramie and Indian Lake. Do well. Be good. Osgood Bank. Knox Machinery in Franklin, serving Dayton, Cincinnati, and most of Ohio. The CNC Solution. New and used machines, parts, and service. Schnippel Construction in Botkins. Building excellence. I'll bet you didn't know. Schnippel builds Marriott's and Holiday Inns. SecureCom in Minster. SecureCom. Online at SecureCom.com. The pros in protection. And the Sydney Daily News with the most read sports page around. This is ScoresBroadcast.com. Scores. S-C-O-R-E. S, the Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. We're the radio on your phone for high school sports.
And welcome to Sydney Memorial Stadium. I am Brian, filling in for Jack Kramer alongside Chuck McBee. We are here for a Miami Valley League contest between the visiting Vandalia Butler Aviators and the home Sydney Yellow Jackets. Thank you so much for listening tonight here on ScoresBroadcast.com. Scores, the Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. Sydney enters tonight's Week 8 game with an overall record of 4-3, while Vandalia Butler enters 5-2. The Aviators lost two out of their first three games. They have not lost since then. They've had a couple of impressive wins in that streak, including knocking off Tippecanoe, who was previously undefeated in MVL play. Troy Butler and Tippecanoe, all Miami Division teams. They are tied atop the overall MVL standings with 5-1 records. Sydney enters tonight's game 4-2. Stebbins also 4-2 in MVL Valley Division play. Those two squads tied atop Valley Division standings. So a big one for both teams. Sydney, Chuck, is looking to bounce back after a disappointing loss to Tippecanoe last week. They were ahead 7-6 with 2 minutes left in the second quarter. Gave up two touchdowns in the final minute of the first half. gave up a touchdown on the opening drive of the second half, and that game was done after that.
Well, that's too bad. I mean, they've had a nice season. Injuries, and it is all part of the game, but when you're going out there and you're not playing with Tank Fleming and you're not playing with Julius Spradling, who to me is the best athlete in the MBL either side, it makes it tough. And it would have been a tough game tonight anyway. Somebody's going to have to step up for the Jackets tonight.
And they will try to build off of that positive first quarter and 7/8 against Tippecanoe. They can keep that up. Maybe they can give Butler a game, but certainly the last two quarters and 1/8 showed them what they need to work on heading into this one tonight. The good news for them is they've now had 2 weeks to prepare without both of those athletes.
Right.
They showed some life on offense early on last night of being able to move the ball, and they will try to do that again tonight. And that will lead into our Francis Schulze keys to the game. From storm doors to garage doors, Francis Schulze in Rushi offers the winning combination of style, durability, and efficiency. Using the highest quality building components for these two teams tonight, there are key building components as well. For Sydney, who will step up and make some chunk plays on offense to help offset the loss of Spradling and Fleming. And for Butler, tonight's outcome may rest on the success of the Aviators front seven on defense, which Dave Tanner, coach of Sydney, said might be the best defensive group in the MVL. Those are the key building components of the game tonight, which may open the door to success for both Sydney and Butler. Remember, the finest building components from Francis Schulze can provide you with storm doors and garage doors that also display that winning combination of style, durability, and efficiency. Thank you, Ken Francis, and all the staff and associates at Francis Schulze in Rushi. Francis Schulze in Rushi, well known for providing the very best building materials for lumber dealers, home centers, and door specialists everywhere. We're going to pause for a brief commercial break. When we come back, we will hear interviews with both Sydney first-year head coach Dave Tanner and Vandalia Butler first-year head coach Zach Geith. This is scoresbroadcast.com.
Serving the region since 1972 and celebrating 50 years in business, Barker Insurance has earned a stellar reputation second to none. Barker Insurance can customize and tailor an insurance plan for your auto, home, farm, life, and business insurance. We represent insurance companies like Erie, Ohio Mutual, Buckeye, and others. Stop by Barker Insurance or call to see how Barker can help you with your insurance needs. Phone 937-492-1850. County Road 25A, a mile north of I-75. Number one is Barker Insurance, and that's for sure.
From fire alarms to phone systems to access control to video surveillance, SecureCom and Minster does it all. SecureCom finds solutions to push the limits of today's technology for tomorrow's world. Leave it to the experts. We'll show you the pros of going pro. And at SecureCom and Minster, we'll design a system that's efficient and affordable. We'll help you maintain your security investment to work properly for years to come. SecureCom and Minster, 307 West 1st. Inquire online at securcom.com. SecureCom, your pros in protection.
For over 55 years, Superior Aluminum Products in Rushi has promoted area high school athletics. Now in its third generation, family-owned Superior Aluminum is experiencing continued growth. To support this progress, we're currently looking for qualified applicants. Stop in and see Craig Fissinger to discuss your employment opportunities. And if your home project requires railings or porch columns, swing by your local lumber yard today to discuss a solution from Superior Aluminum. Superior, the construction industry's leader in railing, fence, and columns. Picture your options online at superioraluminum.com.
This is scoresbroadcast.com. Scores, the Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. The Sydney Yellow Jackets were 1-2 after losing to Xenia in week 3, but rebounded to beat Fairborn, West Carrollton, and Greenville, all by a combined score of 147-13 before losing on the road at Tippecanoe last Friday. Jack Kramer of scoresbroadcast.com spoke with Coach Dave Tanner of Sydney this week. And Coach Tainer noted that the three-game win streak was triggered in part by Sydney's offensive line, which got better, stronger, and more effective.
So following the Xenia game, we really made some vast improvements with what we did up front as far as the offensive line is concerned. I think Luke Carter, Eli Biddle, Sam New, Brad Douglas, those guys made great improvements in what they're doing. Sean Strominger, also Ethan New became really a force in the blocking game from the tight end position. I think they made a step forward. And, you know, and that really led to us having some substantial success starting out with the Fairborn game, very first play of the game. You know, Julius Bradley pops a 53-yard touchdown run. We connect everything up. He got one-on-one with the safety, made a big play, and then that just carried through the rest of that game. Then carried over on into the West Carrollton game where we did a great job physically up front. We had two ball carriers in that game that were over 100 yards apiece. There was 2 weeks in a row in which we accomplished that feat. So, and then we went into Greenville game. I think we carried that momentum. We lost Julius Bradling in the West Carrollton game, so we didn't have him, and he'd been an extremely dynamic playmaker for us. But guys responded really well, and I think we played a very physical brand of football versus Greenville. So, you know, I think the biggest areas of improvement from us from the start of the year to now is our efficiency on the offensive line and with our tight end position.
In the loss on the road to Tip, final score very deceiving. You were right in that game for almost two full quarters.
Yeah, we played really good football for the first 22 minutes, and then we played really bad football for the next 2 minutes, and then they got the ball coming out the second half, so it was really a three-score swing right away, and I don't think we responded the way that we should. I think we took a step back and looked at the film this week and said whenever you face adverse situations, you need to respond with discipline and focus, so that's been our focus going into this week and our preparation for Butler.
Take a moment, highlight three really good defensive players for you, Vestal, Boshiers, Hughes. They've done some really good things at the linebacker spots.
Yeah, I think our front six, including those three at linebacker with Riley Vestal, Will Boshiers, and Bryce Hughes, I think those three guys have all proven themselves to be guys that run to the ball extremely well. They've improved in their gap fit integrity. That's another area that I think we improved a lot coming off the Xenia game and into the next few weeks, that we had very good fits with those guys up front. Our defensive ends have stepped forward as well. I mean, Eli Biddle and Luke Carter have made a lot of tackles for loss and created those plays. So I think those six work really well together inside. And then, you know, I think our secondary, when they need to and when they're the fit asks them to do it, they've been able to be pretty productive in those fits as well.
Take a moment, spotlight those two hybrid positions on defense, linebacker / safety, manned by Lyons and Ward.
Yeah. Unfortunately, we didn't have Aaron Ward at the start of the year. He was out with an injury for a good chunk at the start of the year. And when he's now added in over the last couple of weeks and is a senior who's done a great job. So he's been a great asset to us. And it was, you know, him stepping up at that point in time when Julius Bradling was lost allowed us to be able to move Mitchell to free safety. And between Joel and Ward, they've done a great job of being those hybrid type guys. When it's their time to fit as a linebacker, they're there to be able to do it, and when they need to be out in coverage, they're able to move and play in space well enough.
Dave Tainer, head coach at Sydney, our guest. He is in our pregame segment before tonight's contest between the Sydney Yellow Jackets and Vandalia Butler. The kicking game, talk about how it has transpired over the course of the season and who man the punting and place kicking spots right now.
So we've had kind of a next man up approach to it when it comes down to it. You know, so Joey Flynn is a senior for us who's handled a lot of the kicking duties. He's facing a little bit of an injury right now. But even prior to him doing that, Grady Mitchell had stepped up and had done a really good job as a place kicker for us. Joey Flynn has done an awesome job as a kickoff guy throughout the entire year. And then Dylan Kelly, we had him step in and punt. He does a good job with it, but it also allows our two other kickers between Flynn and Mitchell to focus on the kicking duties instead of having a divided focus.
Vandalia Butler, a stout opponent tonight. having lost to Troy, then got well in a hurry, beat both Xenia and Tip, did Butler.
Yeah, they're a good football team who plays good opportunistic football. If you look at the Xenia game, you know, Xenia had them on the ropes early in the game. Really had an opportunity, blew two scoring opportunities down inside of the 20-yard line in the first half and would have had the opportunity to kind of stretch that lead. But Butler's proven to be a resilient bunch. They knuckled up in those situations, created a couple takeaways, kept the game in close proximity where it was a 21-7 game, and then did a good job on special teams. Blocked a punt that really changed the momentum of the game. So they've shown themselves to be a team that can play some complementary football. I would say it was the same thing in the Tip game for them. Tip was moving the ball well throughout the game, but they would find a way to create a takeaway and flip that scale. So I think they've played consistent football. We're going to need to play a clean game of football on Friday.
A specific person or two on Butler who jumps out at you when you take a look at videotape?
Their front seven is a group that plays well together. I think their defensive line is a stout group. They control the interior gaps, and I think their two inside backers do a good job of scraping across the top to things too. So, I think that's the area in which we got to match. We've done a pretty good job on the offensive line. We got to challenge ourselves to do a great job on Friday.
And good to be back at home at Sydney Memorial Stadium, 30-0 field.
Absolutely. You know, we're the 30-0 field. You just got to take out the 30 part of it right now. We're 3-0 on the year, so we want to take the opportunity to try to extend that to 4-0 on the year. So looking forward to it.
That was Coach Dave Tanner in his first year at Sydney. Coach Zach Geith was a 9-year assistant at Vandalia Butler before taking over the head coaching spot this season for the Aviators. He preaches alignment and assignment football to his squad, and Geith praises the leadership skills of his quarterback, Luke Seibert. A Butler alum, Geith looked back at his enjoyable high school playing days during a conversation with Jack Kramer.
Played football here, graduated from Butler in 2004. Had an unbelievable experience coming through the program, something I'll always cherish. So it's been very humbling and exciting to be able to be involved on the coaching side for the last 9 years, and then having the opportunity to step into this role this year has been, I use the word already, but humbled to have that opportunity to lead this team. The guys on this team, they make it easy on me with the senior leadership. They come in every day ready to work and ready to get better every day. So I think that's been a catalyst for this season is not being even though there's been some very some big wins, some improvement from the last handful of years, they're not satisfied and want to keep getting better every day.
Big wins this season, of course, after a loss to Troy in the MVL.
Yeah.
Triumphs over Virginia and Tip. How about that?
Yeah, those were definitely two huge wins for the program, giving our guys confidence in what we're doing, and I think that confidence is going to help propel us to where we think we can get this year.
Offensively, talk about your schemes under center often with quarterback Seibert.
Yeah, we'll be under center a lot of two back action, trying to establish the run game, and then get the ball out to some playmakers out wide. Like I said before, I think we've got a good group of skill guys. Give them the opportunity to make plays and see what they can do out there.
Highlight the names of some of those skill guys for our listeners.
Yeah, and I'd be remiss though too if I didn't mention the big guys up front, because we are trying to establish the run, and to be very frank, as the weeks have gone on, our run game has gotten better and better, and it's no doubt it's because of the guys up front like Sean Wentling, Severance, McConaughey, Hodge, and the Gibson brothers. So up front they're doing a great job getting us going, and that's setting setting things up for guys out wide like Tavon Crump, Braylon Crump, running backs Braden Bates and Mel Hayden, and then two making some big plays out wide would be Corey Rice and Julius Russ. So Luke Seibert's got a lot of guys out there to get the ball to. He's doing a great job leading this team. Just a tough kid, someone that the kids look up to, and someone that can just steady the ship out there, and just a great leader for our program.
Jack Kramer with Zach Geith, head coach of Vandalia Butler football before tonight's game between Butler and Sydney. Defensively, you go often with an odd front.
Yes. We're going to base our defense in an odd front. Obviously with adjustments to the different personnel groups that come in. But, we're led up front by, Logan Shoup, just a nasty guy getting after it, playing really hard, making plays. Behind him, you got two, really good linebackers in Donovan Collins and Sam Mitchell. I think why we see the success they're having is their physicality and attitude, and they also play fast because they're confident in what we're doing. So, and then that next level, whether it be even our outside linebacker, we've had some guys really step into some new roles and perform pretty well. In the back end, Alan Mapson, our safety, is he always finds himself around the ball. Three or four interceptions? I have to go back and look, but he's around the ball for a reason. He's making plays and he's taking advantage of those opportunities when he gets them.
Two superb sophomores man the kicking game for you.
Yes. Julius Rusk in our punt game, helping us flip the field, when we punt, which is, I think, potentially one of the most overlooked plays of any game is punt when you have the opportunity to change field positions. Kicking this year, Griff Bradley, someone that's been very trustworthy, developed from last year as far as extra points and field goal opportunities, but also on kickoffs and the consistency of his kickoff.
It's been a hot week until game day today, Friday. What are you working on week 8 of the high school football campaign?
I think it's just that continual don't be satisfied with where we're at. And if, we have a standard of what we want to do to get to where we want to get, so we got to continue to meet that standard every day, and that's coming in, and that's doing tedious things every day in practice. We preach alignment and assignment. If you can't get lined up and know your assignment, how in the world are you going to play fast, right?
Sure.
So that's something we preach, is those two principles, so that we can play fast and physical.
A unique preparation for Sydney, tonight's opponent.
Yeah, defensively, they run a little bit of a different defense than we're used to seeing here in the MVL. So, that requires some extra work. Offensively, they get the ball out in space and have some guys that can make some plays. So we got to be able to play in space, come up, make tackles, and know our responsibilities.
And that was Vandalia Butler first-year head coach Zach Geith. His Aviators off to a great start, looking at getting a very good playoff seed in Division II Region 8 this year. But, of course, first things first, they're trying to wrap up an overall Miami Valley League title in the last 3 weeks of the season, beginning with tonight's game. Sydney looking to get back on the winning track and stay alive in the MVL Valley Division race. It is Vandalia, Butler, and Sydney tonight on ScoresBroadcast.com. We're going to pause for a commercial break. When we come back, we will have the kickoff between the Aviators and Yellow Jackets. This is ScoresBroadcast.com.
For 76 years, the Goffney Furniture and Mattress Center in Sydney has been family owned and operated. We take pride in serving your family by helping you create a home you truly love. Visit our spacious showroom at 2600 West Michigan in Sydney. Goffney has everything from sofas and sectionals to beds and mattresses to chairs and recliners. Goffney has bar stools, kitchen tables, servers and sideboards, and even kids' bunk beds. Our service and selection make us far superior to the big box giants and e-commerce megastores. The Goffney family has perfected the best destination around for furniture, mattresses, and home decor. We're so popular that customers come from Dayton, Columbus, and Fort Wayne. Shop and buy online at GoffneyFurniture.com. Curbside pickup and delivery at 2600 West Michigan in Sydney. Go Goffney, our family has you covered.
We don't just build homes, we build neighborhoods. Wygant Real Estate and Development in Minster is the region's only full-service real estate building and development company. For over 44 years, Wygant has been your neighbor. We assist residents in West Central Ohio in buying, selling, and building homes, farms, and commercial and industrial properties. Our 70-lot Stonegate subdivision is one of Wygant's newest neighborhoods, located on the northeast side of Minster. Wygant is also offering lots in Park Place and Deer Crossing subdivisions, both in Minster, and in Woodland subdivision in Botkins. Custom build your new home in one of our subdivisions or on your own building lot. There is no substitute for experience. We continue to provide quality and service to you, the customer. Reserve your lot today, or to sell or build your new home, call us at 419-628-3107. Call Wygant Real Estate and Development today.
Customers always come back to Guyer's Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Fort Loramie.
Yeah, I've bought several new Jeeps at Guyer's, and I really appreciate the Guyer's approach to building relationships.
And for 100 years now, since day one, Guyer's has offered superb collision repair.
Absolutely, and I've benefited from that. The manager of that department has over 30 years' experience. Whether it's a fender bender, a scratch or dent, or an accident, Guyer's will make your car or truck look brand new again at a fair price.
Speaking of brand new, three-fourths of the vehicle purchases at Guyer's start online at GuyersInc.com.
We have great photos, true description of the vehicles, and also list the auto check history report right on our website.
And these internet-driven online Guyer's customers have been known to fly into Ohio, pick up the car they've selected online, and then drive it right back to wherever, right?
We had one this year flying from North Dakota, picked them up at the airport, got them delivered, and they drove it right back.
The Guyer's reputation, from northern Shelby County all the way to North Dakota.
You know, at Guyer's, it's always service with a smile.
GAIERS.com.
It's a real good idea to get new tires to grip the road firmly before a change in the weather gets a firm grip on you and your driving. M&A Muffler and Tires on North Main in Fort Loramie has a huge tire sale that you'll never get tired of. Big savings on Goodyear, Firestone, Michelin, General, Uniroyal, Goodrich, and Cooper. Free pickup and delivery, too. Just phone 937-295-3971 and talk to Geppy, Jeff Gephardt, at M&A Muffler and Tires in Fort Loramie.
Need the right solution for true comfort? Call on Tom and Jerry's Plumbing, Electric, Heating, and Air Conditioning in Fort Loramie. Mike Holdhouse and his superb technicians are fully licensed and insured, meeting all state requirements for training and professionalism. Get rid of those cold spots. Tom and Jerry's can make your home or business feel just the way you want it. Call Mike at 937-295-3243 or set your appointment for true comfort at TomJerry's.com.
Welcome back to Sydney Memorial Stadium. I am Brian Billing, better known as the sports editor of the Sydney Daily News, pinch hitting for Jack Kramer tonight, alongside Chuck McBee, as always, here on ScoresBroadcast.com. We are here for a Miami Valley League game between the visiting Butler Aviators and the home Sydney Yellow Jackets. Butler again enters tonight's game 5-2 overall. Sydney enters the game with a record of 4-3. Both squads started out 1-2, then got going afterwards. Butler on the hotter streak, though, after Sydney lost in lopsided fashion last week to Tippecanoe. Kickoff by Vandalia Butler's Griffin Bradley is fielded at about the 20 and returned about 12 yards or so. Believe that was Isaiah Foster on the return for the Yellow Jackets. And now Sydney goes out to work. The return got all the way up to the 32, so it's about a return of 12 or so. Tucker Heron back in the shotgun. Bryce Hughes with him. Hughes takes the handoff from Heron, runs up the middle, Doesn't get much. We'll see where Fort Progress is spotted. Looks like that will be a gain of about one.
Yeah, he ran into a stone wall there, and they talked about the seven being the best defenders for Butler and maybe the best in the league. They showed it on first down.
They absolutely did. Butler all over Sidney's offensive line on that one. Second and nine from the 33. Hughes gets another handoff. Oh, excuse me, that is Isaiah Foster on that handoff, but he is met quickly too. Did gain about three on the initial burst on Ford Progress. I take that back. That was Hughes too. My first time seeing Sidney from the press box this year, so looking at the difference.
They're farther away,
yes, yeah. Normally on the sidelines. Body type difference is interesting. But Hughes is wearing a bit of pink underneath his jersey, so there is the giveaway on this. Third and six, Heron is rolling to his right, and he is sacked. Back towards the Sidney sideline, the home sideline. That was Donovan Collins for Butler, who chased him down. Collins showed his speed on that one. That is a loss of four. Makes it a fourth and ten. So a net zero on the first possession for the Yellow Jackets, who will have to punt.
You have a flag.
Okay.
They had 12 guys out there.
So that's going to now have Sidney losing yards on its first drive of the game. Not the start the Yellow Jackets wanted for sure against this great Vandalia Butler defense. Sidney now back to punt from its 27 with 10 minutes and 5 seconds left. The punt by Dylan Kelly is blocked. Butler recovers it in the end zone for a touchdown. And that was Caden Bates who recovered it for the Aviators. Junior running back and linebacker with 9 minutes and 54 seconds left in the first quarter. That was a disastrous string of events there for Sidney to go from a manageable third and six to punting and having it blocked and recovered for a touchdown.
Well, the snap took forever to get back there. And then I'll tell you, Sam Mitchell got the block, but there was five other guys there that were waiting. It was flip a coin to see who got to score the touchdown.
And as we said, that was Caden Bates who did recover it. Extra points by Butler's Griffin Bradley is up and good. The Aviators take a 7-0 lead over Sidney with 9 minutes and 54 seconds left in the first quarter. This is scoresbroadcast.com.
There's never been a better time to experience Mutual Federal in Sidney, Piqua, and Troy. You see, we have what you need. Whether you're looking for a commercial loan for your business, applying for your first mortgage, or searching for a checking account with the modern conveniences of online and mobile banking. Let Mutual Federal offer you the perfect solution with a full range of products and services that help manage your finances. Open an account or apply for a loan today at Mutual Federal. To get started, just visit MutualFederal.com. Mutual Federal, a division of First Bank Richmond, serving Sidney, Piqua, and Troy since 1922. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Disastrous opening drive for Sidney. Butler blocks a punt, recovers it for a touchdown, and the Aviators ahead 7-0 with 9 minutes and 54 seconds left in the first quarter. So Butler, without yet having had its offense on the field, is ahead and getting ready to kick off. Griffin Bradley kicks it off. It goes to Bryce Hughes. He fields it on the visitor side at about the 15, turns and gets up to the 30, but he is thrown down and stopped there That was a nice play by John Stevens of Butler, who chased him down and threw him to the ground.
Got him by the jersey, and he made no contact with his body, but with just the strength of his hands, threw him to the ground. That's strong.
So Sydney will take over at its 30 with 9 minutes and 47 seconds left in the first quarter. Trying to get something going here. Once again, Tucker Heron, in his second year as starting quarterback for the Yellow Jackets, takes the snap, and he hands it off. This time it is to Isaiah Foster. As I mentioned earlier, Bryce Hughes has a pink undershirt on. Foster has it too, so I'll have to pay extra attention to their pants to differentiate them. They look more similar from this high up at Sydney Memorial Stadium than I'm used to from on the field. Hughes is 5'10", and Foster is 6'2", I believe, more size to him. Both strong individuals. Foster takes this handoff on a 2nd and 5 after a decent gain on that first run. He doesn't gain as much this time. Looks like forward progress will give him about 1 yard, so that will set up a 3rd and about 4. They're going to call it 3rd and 3 from the 37.
You know, they talked about leaning on the offensive line, and that is right now is when they need them to come through, and because they need a first down.
One pass attempt so far by Heron tonight ended in a sack. He's passing on this one, takes a snap, rolls right again. He is under pressure, turns it up, and goes out of bounds at the 37. So about the original line of scrimmage, they may have given that about a half-yard gain on it. It will be a 4th and 2 officially on the scoreboard. But just like on that previous third down, he went to throw there and had to run for his life.
Yeah, he had no time, no chance.
Butler just breaking through so far tonight. Sydney on to punt. Dylan Kelly, 6'2", senior for the Yellow Jackets, in. This time, he's able to get it off without pressure, and it takes a decent bounce for the Yellow Jackets. They let it continue to bounce, and it is down at about the 12-yard line with 8 minutes and 22 seconds left. So an opportunity here for Sydney to try to get some momentum going as they've pinned Butler deep. They can stop him, force a 3-and-out, or even if they just hold him to 1 or 2 first downs, they could still force Butler to punt from its own territory. The Aviators offense comes out and will start at their own 12. 8 minutes and 22 seconds left in this first quarter. Butler ahead 7-0. Again, the first time the Aviators offense has been out tonight after that defensive touchdown to start things off. Luke Seibert hands it off on the first play of the game. It is a run up the middle. I believe that was Rammel Hayden on that. It goes for a loss. So it will now be 2nd and 11 from the 11. Butler taking its time before running this play as they get the call from the sidelines. Cloudy night here at Sydney Memorial Stadium with some wind, which is blowing just about across the field. Completed pass here on 2nd down. Seibert finds a receiver toward the visitor's sideline.
He just raised up, tossed it to the tight end. About a 2-second play.
I believe that was Taven Crump, the tight end there, who brought that down. It is a first down, regardless, for the Aviators. As Chuck described, very nice play on a 2nd and 11. A gain of 11. Here is a handoff. Sydney all over that one. That's going to be a loss of 1 or 2. Didn't get to see that ball carrier. His number, as he was thrown down quickly. I think, Chuck, that was Caden Bates.
Yes.
So they did say he got back to the line of scrimmage, so it is just a 2nd and 10 now from the 22 for Butler. Sydney, good at stopping the run so far. Here's another handoff. This one's going to be a bigger game. It is Bates again. That is a gain of about 8. We'll set up about a 3rd and 2. We got across the 30 to the 31. Third and one officially for Butler. 6 minutes and 30 seconds left in the first quarter. Aviators ahead, 7-0. There is a fumble on the snap. Seibert able to go down and get it and dive forward. He prevents the turnover, but that now will bring up a fourth and two. Looks like he may have lost a yard or half yard or so officially on the fumble. So Butler brings out its punt team.
Yeah, what a bad time to have a bad exchange with the center.
'Sydney stands to have decent field position after giving up one first down there, but again, still forcing Butler to punt from deep in its own territory. Back to punt for the Aviators is Julius Risk, and that hits at about the 45 and does not roll much. Spotted there by the Aviators. And that is where Sydney will start its third offensive possession of the game. By far its best field position of the three so far, but Butler's defense has proven strong.
Well, that was a 23-yard punt. We got a penalty. Uh-oh, sideline warning on Sydney. Oh, we got a holding. Huh. They don't usually do the sideline warning first. They actually had a penalty also, so it's going to back it up 10 yards from where they are now.
That was a holding penalty they called.
They called it on Maddox Barnes.
And I am the sports editor of the Sydney Daily News. Normally I'm down on the field taking pictures of Sydney, and that is something you always notice some games with some officials. Some are more strict than others when it comes to making sure the players stand back. Others more lax. I, for one, though, always love it when they are strict on that. It is good, I think, for everybody's safety. And
most importantly,
the official's safety. They're the ones that have to be running up and down those sidelines a lot.
That's what the little box is there for. I'm not sure why that took so long for them to decide to back it up 10 yards.
And it has, but we are finally seeing the ball move back now. That will push it back to, as they walk it off here, the 36.
9.5-yard penalty.
So the Yellow Jackets don't have quite as good field position, but still a little bit better than the previous two drives. Heron, about 5 yards back from the ball, and he has Foster directly behind him. He hands off to Foster. It's a run up the middle, gain of about two. Considering the possession changes we've seen so far, it is a fast-moving game as these squads have mostly stayed on the ground. We're just about 15 minutes since kickoff, and we're already over 6 minutes into the first quarter. Traditional shotgun now. Man in motion. Heron throws it off, and then after the exchange goes to Sydney's Ethan New. He looks to throw to Heron. Heron running down toward the Sydney sideline, right on the hash mark. Picked off initially, but we do have a flag.
I think it's going to be a face mask on Sydney on the tackle after the interception.
Who got that interception? That was... There is the call, as Chuck said, that was a face mask. Interception stands. Butler all over.
Braylon Crump, I think, is the one that got it.
Butler really celebrating after that one. And Chuck, you and I saw the Aviators on television when they played Troy. That was a Thursday night televised game. Great defensive game that night. Troy has an awesome defense as well. That ended up a 16-9 victory for the Trojans. And we're seeing Butler's defense now in person several weeks later, and they look even better. Blocked punt tonight, recovered for a touchdown, and now an interception. And Butler's offense now set up for a short possession. There is a handoff. Seibert Gives it to Rammel Hayden. He goes forward for about 5 yards, straight up the middle. And a second and six from the 31. Just so much pressure from Butler's front seven, as we heard from Coach Geith in the pregame interview. They are not to be underestimated.
Yeah, I mean, that play, I don't mind the call, but the execution was very poor. Threw it right to him.
I believe that's the first time New has done that all year. I know Coach Tainer is talking about him as a potential quarterback for next year, so maybe the first time of many that he'll be throwing passes, but as Chuck described, did not go well on that reverse.
Wait, he tried to guide it to him instead of throw it. He had a defender in between. He throws it over to the defender's head, and they get the first down. If not, except he threw it right to him.
Short gain there on a run for the Aviators. Now has them set up for a third and three from the 28. There is a handoff, and Sydney sniffs that one out.
Eli Biddle. Boy, what a hit that was.
And straight up the middle. He's been one of Sydney's most active defensive linemen this year. That was Rammel Hayden on the carry. And Butler is going to go forward on a fourth and five here from the 30. I'm sure they're feeling confident in their defense, even if they do not manage to pick this up. Seibert fakes the handoff, looks to throw, rolls to his left, fires. It is dropped in and out of the receiver's hands. Tavian Crump nearly came up with it, could not quite do it, so that will be a turnover on downs. But as I just said, Sydney will again start pretty deep in its own territory. This will be at the 30-yard line where the Yellow Jackets take over with 3 minutes and 55 seconds left in this first quarter.
That would have been a nice catch, but I think probably should have been caught.
Butler's offense has improved as the year has gone on. Again, their defense was stellar to begin with. Gave up 28 points to a decent Northmont squad in week one. Have not given up anywhere near that much since then. Foster takes a handoff for Sydney on the first play of this possession. He gains about 3 before he is tackled by several Butler players. And Butler has steadily scored more points as the year has gone on. They had 46 and a 40-point win over Greenville in week four. And had 49 last week in a 49-13 victory over Fairborn. Well, correct myself. That was a 16-7 win over Troy in week two that I mentioned that we saw on a Thursday night, not 16-9. I don't know why I had 9 on the brain after watching that one, because I remember the touchdown they scored. It was a touchdown, not a touchdown and safety or 3 field goals or whatever I was thinking there. Well, another short run for Sydney on that one. Now it's a 3rd and 6.
The 28 points they gave up to Northmont. Northmont beat Wayne last week.
Yes. Which, and that, you know, Northmont had struggled, lost a couple, but that was a big victory.
Yep.
A lot of parity in the GWOC this year, it looks like.
Yeah,
Centerville may be the best, but Wayne strong, Northmont strong. There is a handoff for Foster. He runs right and is met. Looks like that may be a gain of about 1, but once again, Sydney looks to have went 3 and out here. It's going to be a 4th and 4 officially from Sydney's 36.
Well, they're thinking about it, I guess. Now they're going to punt.
Dylan Kelly on to punt for the Yellow Jackets. He's a senior wide receiver and defensive back. Starts on defense, has seen some snaps, a few snaps on offense as well this year. Oh, it's a fake, and it is a pass completed by Kelly to Mitchell Davis at the 45, and Davis runs down the home sideline, another 20 yards or so, and gets to the 25-yard line. That was a great time to roll that play out. Mitchell Davis, who is a 6'3" senior. He's also a star for the Yellow Jackets basketball team with a nice reception there.
I'll tell you what, if they hadn't had the fake call on that with the pass, they were getting ready to have another punt blocked.
That is true, though. As Chuck said, Butler was all over that, so That was a good time to have done that. Sydney now, first and 10 from Butler's 27. Aaron hands off to Foster. He runs right towards the home sideline. Goes right of the right hash mark and gains about 6. So a solid game. Sets up a second and 4 from a 21. 1:13 and counting left in the first quarter. And Sydney's still trying to find an identity without its two most productive offensive players, both of whom combined for 20 touchdowns in Sydney's first 6 games. And just trying to stay close here. Have a good chance to right now. Foster takes another handoff. He gets close to the first down, not quite, on a run up the middle. That will set up a third and inches. Ball is now at the 19-18 or so. Just short of the 18. Julius Spradling again suffered a shoulder injury a couple of weeks ago down at West Carrollton right before halftime. He has been out since then. And Tank Fleming, another star receiver for the Yellow Jackets, has been dismissed from the team. First down run there, though, for the Yellow Jackets. Taking that was Foster. He ran right towards the sideline. Got it just short of the 10. He will spot it at the 11. Foster getting a lot more carries the last few weeks. And really, it started in the second half after Spradling was injured. He had a bunch of carries in the second half of that one. Clock strikes 0 here in the first quarter. Vandalia Butler leads Sydney 7-0. We'll head to the second quarter. The Yellow Jackets have a 1st and 10 at the Butler 11. This is scoresbroadcast.com.
Get connected to your VA benefits. Chris North of Shelby County served 4 years in the U.S. Navy. Chris is your Shelby County Veteran Services Commission officer.
If you are a veteran or a surviving spouse of a veteran, or even if you know a veteran, we want to connect you to your benefits. That can easily be done by calling us at 937-498-7282. 498-7282.
Or go to facebook.com/ShelbyCOVSO or call 498-7282. The Shelby County Veteran Services Commission. We're vets serving vets.
I am Brian Billing, in for Jack Kramer, alongside Chuck McBee. We're here on scoresbroadcast.com. Sydney has a 1st and 10 from the Butler 11 to start the second quarter. Butler ahead 7-0. They recovered a punt for a touchdown in the first half, and that was the only score. Sydney staying close so far after Butler's defense is largely dominated. There is another decent run by Foster right towards the visitor sideline. That will set up a 2nd and about 6 from the 7. Sydney's in this position after faking a punt, as Chuck noted. A lot of pressure on that punt from Butler. Could have been blocked had Sydney not faked it. But instead, Dylan Kelly was able to complete a long pass to Mitchell Davis. And the Yellow Jackets in business here. So here is the 2nd and 7. 2nd and 6, excuse me, from the 7. Heron in trouble here, and he is sacked from behind. He did manage to pick up a few as he ran forward, and then a defender ran up from behind and tackled him forward. That will make it about a 3rd and 4 or so, depending on where the spot is.
Yeah, I don't think he gained anything. I think
they
got him from behind about the line of scrimmage.
So it will stay then a 3rd and 6 from the 7. Clock continuing to move here as both these teams largely staying on the ground. We're already 80 seconds into this second quarter. Aaron in the backfield, drops back to pass, in trouble, and sacked. Getting it officially for Butler is Sam Mitchell. There were 3 other Aviators that could have gotten the sack too, Chuck. That front for Butler, very impressive.
Yeah, I mean, they were back there. He didn't even have a chance. He couldn't look for a receiver. Mitchell had him but 2 steps behind the line of scrimmage.
So now it is a 4th and 12 from the 13. Sydney will go for it here. Yellow Jackets kicker is Grady Mitchell, who took over kicking duties midway through this season. Heron, 5 yards behind the line of scrimmage. Foster behind him. Heron drops back, throws the quick pass. It is off the hands of Mitchell Davis in the back right corner of the end zone. Sydney again going from right to left here on your smartphone or computer in the second half. So that was towards the visitor sideline at Sydney Memorial Stadium. Close, but Davis could just not quite come up with it. Good coverage by the Butler defensive back on that one as well. He did not give Davis any room to maneuver. So it will be a turnover on downs. Sydney's defense has been decent itself when Butler has been on the field tonight, but the Aviators have not been on the field as much.
They've only gone up 25 yards.
as Sydney has, as Chuck noted. It's been mostly Sydney tonight, but Butler's defense doing well so far and able to force a turnover on downs. They have a turnover on downs, and they recovered a punt, and they also intercepted a pass. At first run for Butler on this possession by Hayden, it was a gain of about 3 right up the middle. Sets up a 2nd and 7 from Butler's 16. 9:22 left in the second quarter. Clock has stopped. The officials are talking something over here back behind the offense. Not sure what the discussion is here. They're running over and now talking to Coach Geith.
Are you talking about where they're going to have dinner after the game? That's just my thought.
We will take a moment here as they continue to talk things over. It is homecoming for Sydney. We'll say congratulations to homecoming queen Kyla Rush. It was a tie for homecoming key Hayden Ball and Isaac Basil. So congratulations to them. Rush, a volleyball player for the Yellow Jackets. Covered the Yellow Jackets volleyball team several times this season, including most recently on Wednesday. They took Butler to 5 sets. Aviators won the 5th, though, 15-11 to secure the win. That was a fun one. Fun first half so far here in the football field, and there is a completed pass on that 2nd and 7. Seibert went over to the visitor's sideline, and he found Braylon Crump there. Crump was close to the sideline and then forced out of bounds, nearly stayed in, was trying to rush up further more for an even bigger play, but he gets it all the way up to the 32. 1st and 10 from there for Butler. Aviators ahead 7-0, looking to add to a lead. Here's a nice run towards the right, the home sideline. Gang of Sydney tacklers stop it for a gain of about 8. And that was Caden Bates on the carry for Butler. 2nd and 3 from the 39 now.
They miss Spradling offensively a lot, but they may miss him more on defense. That kid was an outstanding defensive player.
Yes, free safety, and he was in charge of running kids down, and he really was beneficial early on. There is a deep pass. Seibert took a snap, rolled to his left, and he had Tavian Crump in his sights along the visitor's sideline up the field. It was over Crump by several yards. If that would have been on target there, that would have been a touchdown. Nobody in the vicinity there.
He was about 7 yards behind the defender, but the pass, they put good pressure on him. They're going to go for it here from their own 39 on 4th down and about 3.
Third and 3 from the 39.
Not near as scary then.
But it is quickly a 4th down. Seibert, Butler was in the eye there, handed off. And that was Hayden on the carry for the Aviators. And that goes for a loss of 1, maybe. I think that's going to bring up a 4th and 4.
That was Eli Biddle again. That kid is a defender.
Yeah, as you were saying about Spradling, it was a free safety. That first game against Bell Fountain, he had, I can't remember off the top of my head, but it was something like 18 tackles
yeah.
that night. At that point early in the year, he was having to run a lot of stuff down, and having an athlete like that who's capable of doing that is so good, and he continued to be one of the leading tacklers all through the rest of the time he played. See him down there on the sidelines. The punt for Sydney on that 4th-and-4 goes out of bounds at the 25-yard line, so a decent punt, and that will put Butler deep in its own territory. 7:35 left in the second quarter, where the clock has stopped. Aviators again ahead 7-0. They scored a few minutes into the game, recovering a punt for a touchdown. They've moved it some since then, but have not been able to get close, save for once. And now Sydney will try to get going here. Butler's defense, again, has been so good most of the night. Foster, again, gets another handoff. He gains about 5, goes to the 30, so that will be a 2nd-and-5. Spradling down there on the sideline for Sydney. I know from the last I heard a few weeks ago, they were thinking maybe he will be back by week 10. And again, it's going to come down to how fast his shoulder injury heals here. So
yeah, I think you think about that and you go, do I want him to play against Troy or do I want him to play in the first playoff game? Now, if they have to beat Troy to get in the playoffs, that makes a different decision, but I'm not sure I'd throw him out there against Troy.
Yeah, that is for sure. Again, as we talked about, Troy's defense has been every bit as good, if not better, than Butler, and Troy won the head-to-head matchup. Very physical team on their own, and a physical offense in the wing T that Troy Everhart has got going. There's a bobbled pass there on that 2nd-and-5. Running back to try to get it was Hughes for Sydney. Dangerous there, as Butler was in the neighborhood and could have picked it off, but it will stay as an incomplete pass and set up a 3rd-and-5 in Sydney at its 30. Clock stops with 6:54 on the incomplete pass. Butler again ahead 7-0. Sydney staying in it so far. Credit the Yellow Jackets defense for containing Butler. But Sydney trying to get going on offensively, and there is another near interception. Aaron dropped back to pass. There was some sort of miscommunication on the play as no Sydney receiver was looking back and expecting it.
No, both receivers looked at each other after the ball hit the ground. You're right. Neither one of them knew who was supposed to be the receiver.
And Derek Hobbs is the Butler defender who came back and nearly picked it off. So that will be another 3-and-out for the Yellow Jackets. Dylan Kelly into punt once again. 2 return men for Butler back at about the 30. That is a shorter punt. Goes out of bounds around the 50. So Butler will get great field position to start this possession. They're going to spot it at the right at the 50. I'm seeing they keep tossing it back and forth to each other, and I can't tell where the spot's going to be. I think it's going to be right at the 50 as they change out game balls here. So midfield exactly for Butler.
I think they got to do that in basketball. Whenever you have the ball, you got to get yours so they stop playing. Give you your basketball to play offense with.
Aviators start this drive with 6:44 to go. Seibert under center, and he hands off there to Caden Bates. Bates runs up the middle, and that is a big run behind the offensive line. 10 yards exactly to the 40. First down, Aviators.
It's only the third first down of the game.
As we said, Sydney's defense has been doing good so far. But this is when you want to take advantage if you're Butler, getting the ball at midfield. And now the Aviators are in Sydney territory with 6:20 and counting left in the second quarter. Some trouble there. Pass incompleted as digging down to get it was Corey Rice. I thought he may have prevented it from touching the ground. The officials say it did hit the ground.
Well, he started to throw the football. There was a defender between him and the receiver. He did a good job of throwing it in the ground.
Sydney was all over that one, had a lot of pressure. on Seibert, as Chuck noted. Second and 10. Clock stopped on the incomplete pass with 6:15 left. Another handoff there. It goes to Bates. He does not get much on that one. Looks like it's going to be a loss of one. Defensive struggle here so far tonight. The difference has been a blocked punt that Butler recovered for a touchdown, and that came with 9 minutes and 54 seconds left in the first quarter, and it was Bates who recovered it for a touchdown. Butler has led since then. Third and 11 from the Sydney 39 here. Seibert drops back, throws towards the visitor's sideline. It is completed. Coming down with the catch is Julius Rusk for Butler. That is a first down to the 25.
He has such a strange release on his throw. It's almost like he cocks it before he lets go of the ball. Throws it hard, but it takes him a second to get rid of it.
Seibert is a multiple-year starter for the Aviators, who have not beaten Sydney since 2018, something I couldn't believe when I was doing a preview this week for the Sydney Daily News. We have a penalty there. Is that a false start, Chuck?
Yeah.
So that moves Butler back to the 30 on that 5-yard penalty. It will be a first and 15 from there. Actually, Chuck, I think you guys broadcast that game in 2018 here last time Butler beat him. It was a blowout victory that night for Butler. Unexpected. That was a year Sydney lost. They were 3-7, and I think 5 of those games were by 9 points or less. It was that was 2019. Now I'm getting them confused. Sydney was 5-5 in 2018, still decent after the great 2017 run. We'll talk more about that as Butler takes a timeout with 5 minutes and 33 seconds left. When we come back, Aviators ahead 7-0. This is scoresbroadcast.com.
Before or after the big game, taste victory at Brookins in Fort Loramie. Juicy broasted chicken dinners plus cheesy and meaty homemade pizza take the lead at Brookins. Saturday night doubles the score. Not one, but two delicious 8-ounce marinated pork chops. On a fast break at lunch, hustle to Brookins for the 2-piece broasted chicken meal, the deep-fried pork tenderloin sandwich, or the patty melt with caramelized onions on griddled bread. Anytime, treat yourself to the Tomahawk Burger, a regular in everyone's lineup, a favorite starter, Brookins Wings, slam dunked in hot, medium, or mild barbecue. For the main event, sink your teeth into a savory 12-ounce New York strip. Brookins' family-friendly atmosphere is tops by a long shot. 10 Elm Street in Fort Loramie. Place your carryout now. Call the right play at 937-420-2222. Don't pass on Brookins. Hit the ground running. Order online, BrukensPub.com.
Now, nearly a touchdown for Butler as we come back on the air. Seibert had Crump along the visitor's sideline, but he was out of bounds with the ball. He was right near the end zone. That would have been a touchdown. If he didn't break the plane on that, it would have been just down at about the one. This is a second and 15 here. It is a handoff to Caden Bates, and he runs right towards the home sideline. It is a decent pickup. We have a face mask penalty on Sydney.
And it will, five-yarder.
It will now, I think, be a first down.
No. They called it a five-yarder, not a personal foul.
Okay.
Well, yeah.
So that sets up a third and 2 for the Aviators then. This is the closest they have been to scoring all night offensively. Again, the Aviators' touchdown defensively came with just under 10 to play in the first quarter. And that is the only points we've had so far tonight. Aviators ahead 7-0. They're looking to add to it here. This is a second and 2 from the 17. Butler runs straight ahead. Seibert keeps it himself. and gets the first down. They mark it at about the 13. Maybe it's in between the 13 and 12 officially. Clock rolling now, 4:55 and counting to play in this very quick first quarter, which may be done in 50 minutes or so, real time. Seibert under center here. He has Bates way behind him. Bates gets the handoff and runs straight up the middle for a touchdown. That is a 12-yard touchdown run by Caden Bates. Again, he's the one who recovered the fumble for a touchdown, so he has scored both the touchdowns tonight for the Aviators. That 12-yard run comes with 4:37 left and has the Aviators ahead at 13-0, pending the extra point. Did you have a 12 or 13, Chuck, officially?
12.
12, okay. Just double-checking there. Extra point is up, and it is good by Butler's Griffin Bradley. With 4:37 left in the second quarter, Butler is ahead of Sydney 14-0. This is scoresbroadcast.com.
Whether buying or selling a home, rely on one of only a few truly locally owned real estate companies in the entire area. Realty 2000 Group at 100 South Main in Sydney. The real estate professionals at Realty 2000 are dependable and knowledgeable. Tim Gleason and his staff will make the transition go smoothly for you. Their foundation is built on honesty and respect. If you're buying or selling in the area or relocating here, make the move to Realty 2000. Contact us at Realty2000Group.com, 937-492-8055. We're locally owned, your neighbor, with knowledge of the city and county housing market that's second to none. Realty 2000 Group is the number one real estate company in Shelby County. Realty 2000, the region's household name.
Caden Bates, a 12-yard touchdown run right up the middle for Butler. That has the Aviators ahead 14-0. 4 minutes and 37 seconds left in the second quarter. And that is your Wisebridge play of the second quarter. Make your next play with Wisebridge Wealth Management in Sydney. Begin your retirement, wealth, estate, and tax planning with Wisebridge. Wisebridge, your bridge to a secure future using simple, visible strategies and solutions. Make your next play call to Wisebridge at 937-518-1776.
All securities through Money Concepts Capital Corp. Member FINRA SIPC. Wisebridge Wealth Management is not affiliated with Money Concepts Capital Corp.
Kickoff goes down to the 28-yard line. Yellow Jackets have it first and 10 with 4 minutes and 33 seconds to go. And again, we'll try to get something going. To clarify what I said earlier, as I was trying to remember, Butler has not beaten Sydney since 2018. It was a lopsided win here at Sydney Memorial Stadium. Monster takes a handoff there, runs up the middle, gains about 4. The squad did not play in 2019, the first year of MVL play. The league only league had a mixed schedule this year. Some teams did play a full 9-game league schedule. Some played 8 as they had non-conference contracts to finish. Sydney and Butler each were one of them. Sydney had to finish a contract with St. Mary's. There's a fumble by Foster there. Foster able to fall down and recover. That is a big loss, though. And it will set up a 3rd and 10, ball back on the 28. That was a close game. Sydney lost 25-22 the last time they played St. Mary's in 2019. And could be a long time for those two play again.
Yeah, that used to be quite the rivalry. Those were fun games to watch back in the day.
Now, Sydney has kept Bell Fountain as its one non-conference opponent. There is a pass complete to Bryce Hughes. Herons finds him. Throw to left toward the home sideline. It's just a short gain, though. That's going to bring up a 4th and about 6 or so. So Sydney brings on the punt team once again. Unfortunately for Sydney right now, Tavian St. Clair just came up to Bell Fountain.
Yeah.
And he has been a lot to handle for Sydney the last 2 years. Yellow Jackets actually dodged him his freshman year in 2021. Sydney lost that 20-14, but it was a really close game. St. Clair had not taken over at quarterback yet. He did just a couple of weeks later, though, and has played a quarterback for Bell Fountain since then. The punt for Sydney takes a nice roll, and the Yellow Jackets will touch it at the 27 of Butler. So the Aviators will have it back in their own territory with 2 minutes and 42 seconds left in the second quarter. But Sydney and Butler resumed playing in 2020. That was in the COVID year. That was a week after Sydney had lost in the playoffs. Butler had also already lost in the postseason. Sydney won that one 14-8. And then the Yellow Jackets beat Butler 16-0 here in 21. And beat Butler 12-6 down in Vandalia last year in what was a really good game. So not a lot of scoring between these two teams, and we've seen that so far tonight. Only one offensive touchdown. Butler on the first play of that drive on a run picks up 4 yards. That sets up a second and 6 from the 31. Seibert under center, and he hands off. There is a quick tackle by the Yellow Jackets.
Luke Carter. Boy, he was right there on the, right when the handoff happened.
That will set up a third and 6. .145 and counting left in the second quarter. Butler ahead 14-0 here on scoresbroadcast.com. Seibert drops back to pass. It's completed for a first down back over the left hash mark towards the visitor's sideline. That was Braylon Crump on the reception for Butler. Ball at the 44. And the Aviators working here. See if they're able to get some points before the end of the half. Seibert drops back to pass, and he is sacked. Big play there. That was Luke Carter once again rushing through. So two big plays there. That is a big loss, and we'll bring up a second and 15 from the 39. Butler takes a timeout, leading 14-0. This is scoresbroadcast.com.
Jackson Pharmacy and Wellness Center at 101 East Pike in Jackson Center does it all, and very well, too. A full line of prescriptions and over-the-counters, medications packaged by day and time, plus local delivery to Jackson Center and nearby towns. Walk-in flu and virus vaccines from 2 to 5 p.m. weekdays and from 10 to 12:30 on Saturday. Jackson Pharmacy and Wellness now features Jackson Center Tigers wearing apparel, so you can feel well and look sharp. 937-596-8100. Open weekdays 10 to 6 and 10 to 1 Saturdays. In-store shopping and curbside pickup. Jackson Pharmacy and Wellness Center in Jackson Center. Doing everything well to keep you well.
A deep pass there on a second and 15. No receiver in the vicinity of where the ball landed. We do have a flag on that pass attempt by Butler.
I think they called it on Butler. At least that's what the guy's saying back here.
So after a sack on the previous play, if that does go against Butler, that's going to shove them way back and force a third down. They should have enough time. Now, Sydney hasn't used any timeouts, so it depends, I guess, if Sydney's going to push it or not.
He pointed the wrong way.
Okay, there we go. So it is a penalty against Sydney, and that will keep things alive for the Aviators. Butler has one timeout left, 58 seconds left. After that penalty, that moves the ball up to the Sydney 46-yard line. So still a good distance. Butler has to go. They left the ball down there, didn't they?
No, they don't need it.
So an official had to run back to get that ball, and it'll be a little while before we get a new ball in and get things going here.
There we go.
And again, Butler looking for its first win over Sydney since 2018. Again, a great year, though, for the Aviators. Their best in a long time since that 2018 campaign. Butler 5-2. Seibert drops back to pass, fakes a handoff, looking in trouble, gets it off before being hit, and it's completed. A receiver comes back to grab it. He nabbed it at about the 5-yard line. That was Alan Mapson, the second that grabbed it. No, excuse me. That was Braylon Crump who grabbed it. I had to double check that number there.
Yep, number 9.
Crump, we've seen him catch several passes tonight. He is decent. Normally plays way out on the left side. He had to run back to get it there. He had the space from his defender and was able to run over right in the middle of the field, grab it, and an easy 4 or 5 yard walk into the end zone from there. So that big pass completion gives Butler a 20-0 lead. Here is the extra point attempt by Griffin Bradley, and it is good. That pushes the lead to 21-0 with 49 seconds left in the second quarter. This is scoresbroadcast.com.
With great support from Locale Equipment in Jackson Center, scoresbroadcast.com launched in 2006. Locale manufactures quality replacement parts for highway maintenance equipment around the world. It started back in 1947 in L.A., California, thus the name Locale, and moved to Jackson Center in 1982. Locale proudly promotes high school scholarship programs and during game broadcasts recognizes athletes who excel in the classroom. ScoresBroadcast.com was conceived 15 years ago thanks to Locale Equipment in Jackson Center.
Butler ahead 21-0 over Sydney, 49 seconds left in the second quarter. Chuck, if you're Sydney now, it's a matter of just getting to the locker room, trying to put things back together for the second half. Again, they led Tip 7-6 last week with 2 minutes left. Gave up 2 touchdowns in the final minute of that one. A touchdown on the first drive of the third quarter and fell behind quickly. Butler here has scored 2 TDs in the last 4 minutes and 30 seconds or so of the second half and has extended its lead from 7-0 to 21-0. So,
and the Jackets haven't shown a penchant to be able to move the football tonight so far.
Right, yeah. The Sydney's biggest play was a fake punt. They've had a couple of decent runs, but that is about it for Sydney. We remind you to stay tuned to halftime. Chuck will have a complete first half statistic rundown. Halftime here on Scores brought to you by American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie and Schnippel Construction in Bakken's. The kickoff goes in the end zone and is a touchback. Sydney has it at the 20 with 49 seconds left. Heron had an pass intercepted after Butler scored with 50 or so seconds left last week. It was a decent return, and the Red Devils were able to punch it in with less than 10 seconds left to score again. Sydney does not take to the air this time. Keeps it on the ground. Foster runs. He does gain 6. That sets up a 2nd and 4 from the 26. 30 seconds. Heron is in the shotgun. He brings Hughes in motion, and Hughes is tripped up.
Wow, what a play. Riley Siebert.
Siebert came up and tripped Hughes up. Looked like it could have been a decent gain had he not done that.
No,
and Sydney lets the clock run out, so that will take us to halftime here at Sydney Memorial Stadium. Vandalia Butler leads 21-0. Halftime brought to you by American Architectural Glass in Fort Loramie and Schnippel Construction in Bakken's. It's coming up next. This is ScoresBroadcast.com.
Ready? ready for a new roof? Need other home improvements like windows or siding? A&E Home Services in Sydney stands by its name. A&E, affordable and experienced. At A&E, we'll work with your budget and schedule to create a beautiful, durable roof that protects your home investment for years to come. And we'll work with your insurance company, too, every step of the way. Metal and asphalt roofs, reliability starts at the top with A&E Home Services. We'll help you create, update, and renovate, home remodeling, and so much more. Right now, we're working closely with homeowners throughout Sydney, Shelby County, and West Central Ohio. Reproof your roof with A&E, affordable and experienced. Phone 937-726-2868. That's 726-2868. We don't sell roofs, we build relationships. Your roof is our passion. A&E Home Services in Sydney. We're your home crew for your honeydew.
We're a favorite of the home crowd in Botkins and those who come from towns all around. Meyer's Tavern at 303 North Main in Botkins is known at noon and night for pizza, subs, sandwiches, salads, and wings. We have a full menu. You can be sure you'll always find something you want to eat as a snack or as a full meal. Breakfast starts at 6. The omelets are terrific. Super Strip Loin Steak starts at 4. And don't forget the lunchtime specials. Meyer's is proud to be a local casual hangout and welcomes you for any meal of the day. Drop on by, have a seat, and have a burger. Place your carryout for Meyer's at 303 North Main in Botkins. Phone 937-693-8271. We bet you won't find better.
Locally owned and operated, Osgood Bank has been a part of Ohio for over 100 years with four convenient locations in Osgood, Chickasaw, Fort Loramie, and Indian Lake, plus the latest up-to-date technology. We support our customers near and far. Osgood Bank is committed to providing the people and businesses with the best services a community bank has to offer. Do well. Be good. Osgood Bank. Member FDIC. Equal housing lender. OsgoodBank.com.
Your number one resource for electrical, industrial, and energy-efficient products and services is Dickman Supply. We've got the premium products you need for lighting control, decorative lighting, and standby generators. Dickman Supply, large enough to offer competitive pricing plus an expanded inventory, but small enough to be personable and flexible to meet your needs. Hundreds of brands, four locations, one solution in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. DickmanSupply.com.
Would you like an extraordinary dining experience right in your own home? Well, the Anna Markets at your service. The Anna Markets Chairman's Reserve Meats provide the finest Angus beef and high-quality pork cuts. The marbling and rich flavor of the prime and premium beef make a big difference in taste. So do the tenderness and versatility of prime and premium pork. And the Anna Market is the only market within a two-hour drive that serves you Chairman's Reserve. Plus, the Anna Market offers delicious homemade salads and always fresh produce. And don't forget, the strict standards of Chairman's Reserve Meats guarantee you an excellent eating experience. Dine at home. Make it first class. Shop at the Anna Market.
The gem in Rushi, Ohio is the Jewelry Barn. Jolene Rinderly and her staff are certified by the Gemological Institute of America.
Our Jewelry Barn is quite unique. The Jewelry Barn offers a wide variety of costume jewelry and high-end jewelry. We have a wide variety of engagement rings.
And located among cornfields on the eastern edge of Rushi, the Jewelry Barn is known as the gem of Rushi.
Yeah, that's right, Jack. That's what our customers call us. It's a repeat business. And they come from all over. It's great.
Jewelry and watch repair, too. Phone 937-526-5557. The Jewelry Barn at 575 East Main Street in Rushi.
Just a nice little shop.
Halftime here at Sydney Memorial Stadium. Vandalia Butler leads Sydney 21-0. Yellow Jackets were able to contain Butler there for most of the first half. Butler's first touchdown was a punt return. A punt that was blocked and then recovered for a touchdown. And Butler was able to get two offensive touchdowns in the last 4:40 or so of the second quarter. to push the lead to 21 to nothing here at halftime. Halftime again brought to you by American Architectural Glass in Fort Laramie, your amazing glass connection. AAG Inc. is the industry's clear choice. And Schnipple Construction in Botkins, building excellence. I bet you didn't know Schnipple builds Marriotts and Holiday Inns. Here with the first half statistic recap is Chuck McBee.
Well, kind of, because I haven't added it up yet. I was sitting there horsing around. So 27, 39, 38, 33. Sydney ran the ball 20 times for 35 yards. They were 2 of 6, though, in the football. One was their 38-yard was a fake punt. And the other yes. one, and then they had one other completion. For 40 yards, 75 total yards for the Jackets in the first half. That ain't going to get it done. Two first downs, two turnovers, counting the block punt. On the Butler side, they ran the ball 18 times for 49 yards. Passing the ball, this is going to take me a second. They threw it 11 times. Completed six for 25. 42, 104 yards. And that gave them a total of 153 yards total. They had six first downs and did not turn the ball over in the first half. Sorry about the sporadic. I forgot to add stuff.
But still, it shows how that first half went. And again, Butler got going later on. Credit Sydney's defense for containing the Aviators early on, but Butler able to figure things out as that first half wore on. And getting those two touchdowns there quickly, and really that big pass completion, a 46-yard touchdown completion that Crump hauled in, 49 seconds left in the second quarter, just so big.
Yeah, huge. I mean, they 14, and the fact they've got 75 total yards does not bode well for them scoring a lot of points in the second half. But at least at 14, there was a shot. At 21, I'm not sure.
We're going to pause now for another commercial break. When we come back, we'll hear a little bit from Sydney girls soccer coach Kevin Veronu, whose Yellow Jacket squad is off to a good season again this year. We'll be back. Butler leads Sydney 21-0 at halftime. This is scoresbroadcast.com.
We are the amazing Glass Connection. Over the years, American Architectural Glass has finished hundreds of major glass installation projects, including the FC Cincinnati Soccer Complex and the B-Deck Suites at Ohio State's football stadium, and most recently at Nationwide Arena in Columbus.
Here at the Columbus Blue Jackets, as you can see, there's major glass installation that was completed in a couple of different phases by American Architectural Glass. They're over in Fort Laramie, Ohio. Many new large attractive mirrors exist in this training facility, and they were expertly installed too.
This Blue Jackets coach highlighted the beautiful new aluminum doors and frames in the offices.
And they are also very functional and appealing, and our coaches are very pleased with how great this AAG project turned out.
The entryway to the Blue Jackets arena was enhanced with eye-catching appeal.
This custom-sized all-glass entrance from the Blue Jackets locker room to the ice arena is just awesome. Not sure this beautiful environment results in a few extra goals each night, but it sure puts some pep in the step of our players.
From storefront windows to entry doors, from wall panels to translucent panels, and from custom mirrors to custom insulated glass, American Architectural Glass in Fort Laramie does it all, often with Made in America products.
It's no wonder AAG is the industry's clear choice.
AAGIncOH.com.
Perhaps a well-kept secret in all of West Central Ohio is Schnipple Construction in Botkins, which has been building excellence for 7 decades.
It was back in 1953 and 3 generations ago when the foundation of Schnipple Construction was started. Grandpa Gene Schnipple began the company as a local household handyman doing small home additions. He set a high standard of excellence back then, and we still follow that standard today.
And a lot of growth ever since, right?
Yeah, since those early years, we have completed over 400 commercial
commercial projects.
And today, the company is experiencing unique growth in the hospitality industry, says Keith Schnipple, the president of Schnipple Construction in Botkins.
We now specialize in the construction of nationally recognized hotels. In fact, we've built close to 60.
Schnipple Construction partners include Marriott, Hilton, Holiday Inn, and Holiday Inn Express.
Throughout parts of Ohio, Indiana, and Kentucky, Schnipple is really proud to continue to build excellence while making the owners' visions of the hospitality industry come to life.
Schnipple is always seeking qualified associates to join its family as laborers, carpenters, concrete finishers, steel erectors, project managers, and project superintendents.
We welcome applicants to forward their letter of interest or a brief resume to info@schnippleconstruction.com or stop by at 302 North Main Street in Botkins.
That's S-C-H-N-I-P-P-E-L. Schnipple Construction in Botkins. Building excellence.
Welcome back to Sydney Memorial Stadium. Vandalia Butler ahead of the Yellow Jackets 21-0 here at halftime of this Miami Valley League game. Kevin Veroneau is in his eighth year coaching girls soccer at Sydney High School and has guided his club to an outstanding record of 11-1-3 this season. The Yellow Jackets tied Tippecanoe on Wednesday 0-0 in Tip City. The Red Devils and Vandalia Butler are deadlocked for the lead in overall Miami Valley League standings. With records of 7 wins and a tie, Sydney in first place in Valley Division standings. Sydney girls soccer, led by Coach Veroneau, has a 5-1-2 mark in league play. Junior forward Larkin Vordermark paces the Yellow Jackets in goals with 32. Sophomore Kinsey Coaster has 15 assists and 10 goals. Senior midfielders Olivia Bargy and Kaylee Spade make up a strong tandem in the middle of the field. Senior Kimora Johnson has had a stellar career as a superb defender. And Shelby McVetti is the only other senior on the squad, which also includes two juniors and seven sophomores. Yellow Jackets also have one other senior in Lauren Conley. Coach Veroneau, who holds bachelor's degrees and master's degrees, has a storied coaching career. He began club coaching in 1992. His first head coaching position in high school was at Toledo Bowser in 1998. He accepted the head coaching role for girls soccer at Finley High School in 2000, where his teams had a remarkable success, including 9 league championships. Beginning in 2012, he coached high caliber soccer programs in both Florida and Texas. He came to Sydney in 2016. ScoresBroadcast.com caught up with Coach Veroneau earlier this week. And these comments you're about to hear, he highlighted the excellent play of his experienced performers on Sydney's roster this season. He also noted how his players have benefited greatly from coaching down south before coming to Sydney High School.
The time down south was really valuable. I'm happy with every position I've been at because I've learned a lot from them, but the game down south is much faster because they play on shorter grass, and so their touches have to be tighter. They have to move quicker on and off the ball because the ball is moving faster. So that really helped me to push my players to be quicker with the ball and off the ball. So that made me a better coach because I had to evolve for the faster speed of play. So when I came back to Ohio, I brought all that wealth of knowledge with me, and I've implemented it in my players. So since I've been at Sydney, we've hammered the player's ability to speed dribble, the player's moving into space on their first touch, and the player's reading the game so that they're moving off the ball instead of standing and watching. So that really changed me. I'm really appreciative of the time down south. The players wanted more. The parents wanted more. They were very driven. And a lot of the players that I had down in Texas for 3 years, those girls are now playing at some of the biggest schools down south. And so I'm really proud that most of that team I had are all D1 college athletes. Early on, the defensive line's been led by senior Kimora Johnson. Kamara has been the staple of that defense for 4 years as a starter. She's been a captain the last 2 years and is leading that defense. She's dealing with players back there that, younger players, so she's had to mentor to them. And, you know, what's interesting about Kamara is she's our free, kick specialist, so she takes all direct kicks and all corner kicks. And she's slowly accumulated, 12, 13 assists every season. And she, you know, is on track where she could potentially break one of, or at least move up to second place on the assist record. In the midfield line, we have two seniors, Olivia Bargy and Kylie Spade, and they've really led that line. And how they've evolved as players from freshmen, because they've also been with me 4 years, to seniors, I couldn't be more proud of them. I would put them against the best midfield line I've had, definitely here at Sydney. They are definitely the best midfield line. And I would put them up against a lot of the mids that I've had over the last, you know, 25 years of varsity soccer. So they really have taken our midfield to a whole nother level with their ability to high-speed dribble, and they're moving off the ball, and you can see that in their stats. And then up front, our line, we have junior and two sophomores up there. And so they last year did well, and, you know, we're all up there in the near top 10 for scoring in the league. But this year they've taken it up a notch, and now we've got like two in the top five and the other one's in the top 10. So as players tend to key in on our central forward, Larkin Vordermark, then what's happened is the other players are stepping up. And a good example is in our win against Beaver Creek, we had five different scorers. And they were passing the ball around up top. They were being unselfish. And then we talked about over the season, we needed just one more pass. And a lot of times we weren't scoring because we weren't seeing that final pass. And the last game really showed that they were finding the final pass. So I was really proud of our scoring. Defensively, we need to definitely shore some things up because we don't want to be giving up four goals against Beaver Creek or five goals against Miamisburg. So we're addressing those issues. We want to continue to be prolific in our scoring, but we definitely want to make sure we start, you know, keeping teams to, you know, no goals or one goal or less.
We offer you peace of mind while being very mindful about what you value most and need to protect.
Protecting your home, vehicles, business, and family. That's what we provide at Roderman Insurance.
We all live in a busy world today, and Agent Nate Barhorst of Roderman Insurance in Fort Laramie says that Roderman's very flexible approach to customer service means you can relax.
We'll do what it takes to walk you through a claim, giving you the peace of mind that our coverage plan will do the job and take care of you at the time of loss.
Some of Roderman's major growth has occurred in the ag community.
We have found our local farmers benefit from our review, so we can make sure we cover buildings, equipment, livestock, and grain, and have the proper insurance plan in place.
Roderman is committed to serving you.
We love helping people protect what is most important to them. We make sure a comprehensive coverage plan is in place at a good price.
Roderman Insurance in Fort Laramie is part of the Reese Insurance Group, which is in Sydney and Piqua too. Online at Reese, R-U-E-S-E, insurancegroup.com.
We have a passion for what we do. We believe it shows, and you will see the difference.
Our agents are available by text, email, and phone. Call our office at 937-295-2131. Roderman Insurance, 311 North Main in Fort Laramie.
Always start at the beginning of the season with just keep the ball, maintain possession, whether it be off the dribble, combination play. We want to keep the ball. Of course, when you get into the season, sometimes tactics dictate that maybe the best thing isn't to just play a possession style of the back. Sometimes the other team is going to give us a look where we may need to go a little bit more direct. And so what I like about the players is because they have played, you know, the first part of the preseason with just possession, now during the season they can implement a little more direct style but they can also default back to, let's just keep the ball and possess it. So, so that is definitely what we're looking for in the players, is possess the ball either off the dribble or what we call high percentage passes. And then if we're going to make that final pass, we want to make sure it's quality, so we're not just putting the ball away to the other goalkeeper. We're getting down to the end of teams with grass. As you said, Troy, they're getting turf stadium. Fairborn's going to turf next year. And it's basically down to us and Piqua. And Piqua's grass facility is really nice. They really maintain that field. You couldn't ask for a better field for grass. And so we're coming to that point in time. I know where they're reevaluating our field, because, you know, the field condition is worsened. Our sprinkler system is old. I mean, it's been there since that stadium was put in back in the 90s. And so they're now, the powers that be are now looking at, should we put more money into that field, put a new sprinkler system, you know, grade it, reseed it. So there's a lot of money that would have to go into it, and then, of course, a lot of money to maintain it with the watering. Or maybe is it time to look at going to turf? So I hope that the decision is made to go to turf, because we would be able to practice on it. Because turf fields force players to have tighter touches. It forces them to play faster, move faster, think faster. And if you're doing all that, it makes them better players. And turf is what has allowed the Midwest, the Northeast, to catch up to the South, because you see most national titles at the club, high school, collegiate level are won from teams out of the South. Because they play on shorter grass or turf. And so turf is sort of the equalizer in soccer. Our biggest thing right away when I got here is this is a splintered community, multiple clubs. Mr. Hoyne basically said, hey, I'd like you to try and consolidate the clubs and help bring everyone back together. And I'm proud that we were able to bring everyone back together with Western Ohio United. And so now, as we're building the program, you know, we noticed that we were not keeping the rec players. We would lose them in middle school. So we made the decision this year to add in a middle school program. And so we started this year with one team. Our goal next year is hopefully to get to two teams. And we really want to build those numbers in the seventh and eighth grade level and see those students who normally would quit because they didn't see that avenue forward, and that was like those gap years, that now that we're filling that gap, and our club players are still playing club. We have, you know, rec players now continuing in middle school soccer, and our goal is to continue to build the numbers. And so that's our one area where, you know, we strive is to build the numbers, and we see the middle school program really helping to achieve that.
Leading the way is J&J Brodigam. Those who live in Sydney are aware that you must meet EPA regulations for the sanitary sewer system on your property. For many Sydney homeowners, J&J Brodigam has inspected their drain and sewer systems by using video cameras. Brodigam can simply reline all or part of your system to make it compliant with city code, often with little or no digging. You, the homeowner, can actually see the break or blockage in the sewer for yourself. For several years, Brodigam has continued to get the job done right the first time for hundreds of Sydney residents, one homeowner after another. We lead the way. Brodigam also has the best reputation throughout the region for its special jetting service, which completely clears blocked drains and clogged sinks and toilets, for example. Jetting is safe, non-invasive, and environmentally friendly. Don't sweat it, just jet it with Brodigam. Yes, Brodigam, with 35 years experience, is the region's most popular specialist in underground plumbing. J&J Brodigam, located in Shelby County. Fast, reliable, affordable. Like them on Facebook. Phone 937-638-5059. That's 638-5059. To fix your drains or sewer system, go with the pro. J&J Brodigam.
Welcome back to Sydney Memorial Stadium. I am Brian Billing, better known as the sports editor of the Sydney Daily News, pinch hitting for Jack Kramer tonight, alongside Chuck McBee, getting ready to start the second half. between Butler and Sydney.
Yeah, appreciate the words from Coach Barino and talking about that soccer team that is an outstanding group of young ladies.
Now, Chuck, I know you've seen a lot of them play basketball, and I've gotten a chance to cover several of their games this year, including a shootout. They beat Beaver Creek here 5-4 on Monday. And Coach talked to them after the game about wanting a better defensive performance, and they had that by playing tip to a scoreless tie on Wednesday down in Tip City. So, I know you told me you coached girls soccer way back one year for Piqua.
I was there 5 years.
5 years, okay. Yeah. I didn't realize you were there that long. But
they couldn't find anybody else, trust me.
But it's always interesting how you can see things like that in soccer, how things can vary from one game to another, go from a shootout to a scoreless tie between a good opponent in the span of two good opponents in the span of 3 days. But back here at Sydney Memorial for football, Butler gets things to start things off in the second half after deferring. Yeah. And it is a one-yard gain on their first carry after a decent kickoff. We were wondering, Sydney kicking into the wind to start things off, how far it would get down. It got all the way to the 35, and Sydney line all over that run attempt. So quickly a third down for Butler. They're going to say that's a no gain, so it will stay, and that will bring up a third and 9 from the 36. It's important for Sydney, if it wants to stay in this, to be able to force a 3 and out here. Again, Tip scored 2 touchdowns in the last minute last week, scored on the opening drive of the second half, and that was that. There is a pass, and it's completed, I believe.
Nope,
they say on the ground. Seibert for Butler looked towards the visitor sideline, and he had a receiver. I believe, I actually don't know who that is. That's a number I'm not familiar with tonight. I think Christian Summer, number 13, if I'm seeing correctly, was the receiver there. Regardless, though, it was on the ground on the turf when he went to make the catch. Official dropped down and smacked that turf to indicate that. So it will be a 3-and-out, nearly blocked. Mitchell Davis did get back there, not quite quick enough. Able to get it off in time for Butler is Julius Rusk on that punt. It goes all the way down to Sydney's 28, and that is where the Yellow Jackets will start their first drive of the second half. So Sydney's defense able to force the 3-and-out. But, Chuck, the big question is, what can Sydney's offense do against this Butler defense?
Well,
that's where the difference has been so far tonight.
Absolutely. The defense has played really well. I mean, they have given up 2 touchdowns, but the offense have given not really got them off the field at all.
There is a run by Isaiah Foster. He runs right towards the visitor's sideline, gains 1 or 2 maybe. Looks like it's more like 1 where the official spots it.
He's staying down,
yep,
too. That's not good.
Yeah, that is not good, as he is the big stalwart on Sydney's offense, running the ball right now, but he pops right back up, so that's good. Sydney wants to see that. Again, the Yellow Jackets are without their 2 most productive offensive players. Julius Spradling suffered an injury, shoulder injury, a couple of weeks ago down at West Carrollton. And Tay Fleming has been dismissed from the team. Those 2 had combined scored 20 touchdowns. So Sydney still looking to find its offensive identity without the 2 of them. They've had some success the last 2 weeks, but overall have not put a lot of points on the board. And Sydney brings in a new running back in the backfield, Eshad Diamande. I'm going to apologize on that pronunciation if I have it incorrect. Not familiar with him yet. But he is in there now. That's who they brought in after Foster got banged up. Foster, again, did come up and is standing on the sideline, so he may be back in. Heron throws it downfield, and it is intercepted. Heron was in trouble quickly. Speaking of Diamond, he had to try to block somebody much larger than him who came rushing through. Then somebody else from Butler busted through right up the middle. And the Aviators able to intercept that. I believe that was Alan Mavson, Chuck. We'll have you verify that for me.
Sure.
I think that's who got it for Butler. It was sure either.
It's what I call a self-defense interception. He either intercepted that or it hit him in the face.
That is a good way of putting it. Is that the second turnover? It's two interceptions tonight, right, Chuck?
Two interceptions and a block punt.
And a block punt, right. Okay, so Butler's defense, again, we talked about it before the game. It's been so good this year, and it's come up big tonight. After the interception, he returned it a little bit, got it up to the Butler 47. That is a run up the middle on the first play of this drive for the Aviators. Gain of one, gets it second down and nine. I believe that was Aaron Turner on that carry for Butler. He's new carrying the ball tonight. Also in the backfield is Bates. There's a completed pass back towards the visitor's sideline. On that completion was Braylon Crump. He's caught several passes tonight. Butler in all white going from left to right here in this third quarter on your computer or smartphone. Sydney in all black going from right to left here at Sydney Memorial Stadium. Ball spotted at the 42 after that Crump completion. 8:36 and counting left in the third quarter. Here's a deep pass by Seibert. In and out of the hands, I believe. And I believe that is Crump over there on the visitor's sideline who was the target. Looks like he may be a little sore as he gets up after that.
Well, I'll tell you what, he throws the deep ball accurately, but their routes are so close to the sideline, it makes it tough for the receiver to make the catch and stay in.
That was Crump, and he goes down just inside the team box there. Looks like he's going to work out a leg, maybe a cramp or something. There is a run up the middle. It's a short gain. And that was Tavian Crump on that carry. After that gain, it brings up a third and six. Ball is at the Sydney 38. Butler again ahead of Sydney, 21-0. Seibert under center. Two running backs directly behind him. He drops back to pass. It's completed over the middle. Nope, they say incomplete.
Another one
on the ground. Tavian Crump was the intended receiver on that one, right over the middle. So that will bring up a fourth and six. What do you do here, Chuck? Do you pin Sydney back deep, or you go for it with the big lead, knowing that you can really put the icing on the cake if you're able to score here?
Yeah, at the 38, I think you go for it. I mean, Sydney has not shown any real ability to move the football offensively.
And that is what Butler is doing. Seibert again. Under center, two running backs behind him. He's in a bit of trouble, but then he's able to take off after a nice block. He runs down to the 20 along the home sideline, inside the 10, and is forced out of bounds. He was nearly sacked, but then had some help with a good block. Didn't catch who came back and had the play-saving block on that one. Sydney defender initially missed him, too. Went back behind him, and that is when the Butler blocker turned around, saw him, and was able to push him out of the way to make sure he didn't get a second chance at that sack. Seibert took off, ran up the home sideline, and now the Aviators have it. First and goal at the 8. Clock stops with 7:40 as the chains reset here. There is a quick tackle by Sydney. That handoff went to Aaron Turner. And that is going to bring up a second and goal. It is a loss of one. Ball is at the 9.
Tried to do a quick snap with the up back that time, and Sydney was ready for it.
7-12 and counting as the clock rolls here. Seibert under center, and we have a whistle there. Looks like that's...
Everybody,
it is a false start.
Everybody knew the snap count at the center.
So that's going to make things a little more difficult here for Butler. But still a second and goal. And the Aviators, after that 5-yard penalty, 14 yards away from pushing this margin to 4 touchdowns. And if they're able to do that, we can start thinking about this one being a running clock game, potentially. It'll be the second week in a row that happens for Sydney after the Yellow Jackets won 3 straight by running clock margins. Seibert under center again, takes 3 steps back, looks to pass, breaks out of another sack. He's still running, breaks out of another one, and is finally brought down. He ran toward the home sideline, is able to gather a few yards, and gets it up to the 12. That was Kane Van Zandt that finally came in, a linebacker for Sydney, to tackle him.
That was one of the better 2-yard runs you're going to see.
Yes, it was. He got out of 2 sacks on that play. We have a timeout called, I think. Maybe not.
No, I don't think so.
Sydney came out in a full huddle. Dave Tanner was on the field there. He's talking to the officials about whatever was going on as well. No timeout called, though. So with 5:55 and counting left, Butler goes out to work. It is a 3rd and goal from the 12. Seibert takes the snap, drops back. He's looking, throws it right corner of the end zone. It is broken up. Maddox Barnes on the coverage there for Sydney.
Corey Rice Jr., the sophomore out there, just couldn't pull it in.
Barnes has been a valued defensive back this year for Sydney. He is a junior defensive back. Also has seen some time at receiver as well. So the incomplete pass brings up a 4th and goal for Butler with 5:43 left. And they are bringing on the kicking unit. And here for the field goal try is Griffin Bradley. The kick is up and blocked. There with the recovery is Donovan Collins. He runs left, gets it inside the 10 to the 5, but he is met there by a gang of Sydney defenders. So he was able to make something on that one, but could not get into the end zone. It would have been bad field position to begin with for Sydney. What that was able to do is make it really bad field position, as Sydney will now start from inside the 5.
Well, they're talking about it, but as long as he got the ball behind the line of scrimmage, he's allowed to advance it on a block kick.
And they are going to put that at the 4. So Heron will be in the end zone to start things off here. If you're familiar with Sydney Memorial Stadium, this is the Lehman end zone that he's in. As Lehman and Sydney both use this field, Sydney is in one end zone in letters, Lehman written in the other one. Heron in the end zone, hands off Foster back in. He's able to get it up about a yard. And it looks like 2 yards. It'll be just about the 6.
It's cold.
It is cold, yes. We're definitely feeling the fall temperatures tonight, and the breeze you can definitely feel as well. It's continuing through this game. And it is blowing basically straight across the field, judging by the flagpoles that are in the corner.
Yeah, it's the stiffest wind we've seen at a game this year.
Heron takes the snap and hands off again. running back runs a few yards. It was Foster again on the carry. That is a gain of four. That will set up a third and five from the nine. Aaron, back. He nearly was fumbled that snap, wasn't quite ready. He manages to complete the pass anyway. It was a quick pass out to Davis at the 20 along the visitor sideline.
Yeah, that is the worst first down you'll see all season.
Aaron was not ready for the snap. It came, hit him. He was able to snatch it out of the air, but it was a designed quick throw, and he just fired it quickly to Mitchell Davis, and Davis came down with it. So Sydney will take the first down, first and 10 from the 20. Foster takes a handoff here from Heron, gets up to the 25, took a hard hit there. He's bouncing back up, though. Again, really physical defense for Butler this year. Much improved team. These two squads both really vying for the tie of most improved team coming into this game, and Butler ahead 21-0 is selling the bait as to who is the most improved. Again, we've talked about if Sydney still had Spradling and Fleming, what this game could have been.
Yeah, it would have made a difference, I think, but especially offensively.
But still, Sydney plays with what it has. There is a quick pass by Heron. It goes out of bounds. He was looking for Foster, so that will bring up a third and five from the 25. But Butler showing so much improvement over last season. And, Coach Tyler Cates had been there for a while, and he left to take a principal job, I believe, at Arcanum. And Coach Geith has come in and continued the improvement effort, and it is showing. There's another deep pass on third down. Sydney wants a flag, and it looks like they got it. Mitchell Davis was the intended target along the home sideline near the 50. Officials are getting together to talk about this. Two different flags I see now, so we'll see what the call is. But Butler was 3-7 last year, 4-7 in 2021, 2-8 in 2020, and 2-8 in 2019. It's been a rough stretch for the Aviators.
Holding and pass interference, both on Butler. They declined the holding. They took the pass interference because that's a 15-yard penalty.
So the Aviators at 5-2 right now. They're able to hold on to this one. It would be win number six. And they have Wes Carrollton and Stebbins to finish out the year. Aviators are hoping those would be wins number 7-8. So they're hoping to get to 8-2. But Sydney, after that penalty here, keeps the ball and will try to get something going down 21-0. Foster takes a handoff and runs up the middle, gains a couple. Ball moved to the 40 after the penalty, and Foster's run is 2 yards and moves it up to the 42. But Chuck, as we talked about, we saw it watching Butler on TV and Troy back in week three and seeing it in person here tonight. Really physical bunch.
Oh, they play outstanding defense. Their offense has improved, but each one of these teams is still going to be in first place in their division at the end of this game because Stebbins is losing also.
Heron fires a pass. It is nearly intercepted. Mitchell Davis was the intended target. Rayvon Brown nearly picked it off for Butler. So that will bring up a 3rd-and-8.
Yeah, Rayvon not real happy with himself. That was easier to catch than it was to drop.
Heron looking towards the sideline, gets the play call. Isaiah Foster in the backfield with him. Here's the snap. He drops back to pass, throws it again, looking for Mitchell Davis again, and it is incomplete. Once again, it was Rayvon Brown in coverage, and he was great in coverage on Davis on that one, and that brings up a 4th-and-8 from The Sidney 42.
Yeah, I think if you run him out on a pass play about 10, 15 yards down and let him turn so he can use his size, they're trying to throw it up to him down the field, and the coverage is too good.
Sidney's punt team is on. Again, they did fake it once in the first half. Completed it to Davis to keep a drive alive. They punt it here. It's a shorter punt, and it is downed at the Butler 42-yard line. So it will be decent field position for the Aviators to start here with 2 minutes and 24 seconds left in the third quarter. Butler again ahead of Sidney 21-0.
Well, you'd think at 71 years old, I would have been smart enough to wear pants tonight.
Yeah, definitely feel in the chill here in the Sidney Memorial Stadium press box. Very cool night. Football weather has finally come. Butler ready to go to work again. Seibert with it under center. Throws a quick pass out to his left. It is complete to Corey Rice, Jr. He gets a decent chunk of yards after catch, running to his left towards the visitor sideline. Gets it to the Sidney 45. So Butler in Yellow Jacket territory once again. First and 10 from there for the Aviators. And credit Sidney's defense. They have prevented this from getting out of hand. But Butler again, a three-touchdown lead, looking to make it four here in the last minutes of the third quarter. There is a handoff to Bates. He runs up the middle, gets a gain of about 7. That brings up a second and 3.
Tell you what, Lions came up that time and probably saved a touchdown.
Ball at the 38. Seibert under center. That is Joel Lyons, as Chuck was talking about there. One of several players on defense that has stepped up at times this season for the Yellow Jackets. And we have a flag. Seibert was looking to throw to his left.
Two people moved at the same time.
So that will back it up. And Butler will go on second down again. This time it will be a second and 13.
It's about 8. Second and 8.
Second and 8. Okay. 5-yard penalty on that. Clock stop with a minute and 36 seconds left. And there is another whistle. Not quite sure what that one was. I didn't see anybody move earlier. Looks like Butler did again, though. They did. False start against Butler.
Did a game in this stadium last year in the playoffs, New Bremen and Fort Loramie, and the wind was blowing like this, except there was 14 feet of snow to go. There wasn't that much snow, but it was a horrible, horrible night to play a football game.
Yes, I did the, which one did I do? I can't remember which one. Oh, I did Fort Loramie Minster, I think, with Jack Kramer here on scoresbroadcast.com, and then you were back for the New Bremen game the following week. Yeah, that Minster game was really bad, and then that New Bremen Laramie game was even worse. Those were two back-to-back ugly, ugly nights. Butler takes a timeout here, facing a second and 13 with a minute 35 left, leading Sidney 21-0. This is scoresbroadcast.com.
I bet you didn't know that Precision Strip is number one in the industry in metal processing and technical capabilities, and it was founded in 1977 in the heart of a one-square-mile farm town in Minster, Ohio. Precision Strip has grown to over 1,300 associates who are employed at 15 locations in 6 states, including Ohio plants in Minster, Tip City, Kenton, Middletown, and Perrysburg. The associates at Precision Strip are dedicated to providing the best teamwork and customer service, and on a daily basis, doing the exceptional.
We are problem solvers who challenge the status quo and drive improvement.
We are family working safely for our loved ones.
We stay true to our values, caring and
respecting one another.
We embrace change as we journey through our career.
We care about our customer relationships.
We are Precision Strip. Learn more about us and career opportunities by visiting precision-strip.com.
Precision Strip, doing the exceptional.
Join the team of loyal associates. Go to precision-strip.com. Click on the Careers tab and learn about current openings and job benefits at Precision Strip in Minster, Tip City, and many other locations in six states.
As we come back on air, Luke Carter, Sachs, Seibert. And now Butler is facing a 3rd and 19. So what was initially a 2nd and 3 after two penalties and a sack has turned into a 3rd and 19. It's back in Butler territory now at the 46. Seibert takes the snap under center, looking deep, and the pass is deflected. I believe that was Carter who got a hand on it, Chuck.
Yeah, boy, I'll tell you what, the pressure up the middle is outstanding. I'm trying to catch a number. 55 and 75.
Carter was one of them there in the vicinity, and then it was also Austin Yates for Sydney. Again, credit Sydney's defense. And they've really shown improvement throughout the year. As I cover the Yellow Jackets each week for the Sydney Daily News, they've come a long way since that opening loss to Bell Fountain in week one, which was a 46-19 victory by the Chieftains. But still, the blocked punt, this punt off safely by Butler. And Sydney will start at the 23, it looks like they are marking the ball at. The blocked punt that Sydney had in the first quarter that Butler recovered for a touchdown was not a good start to the game. And then a couple of interceptions tonight have not helped things either for the Yellow Jackets. And Butler, again, put together two nice drives there in the final 5 minutes of the second quarter to move it to 21-0. Sydney has held the Aviators scoreless here in this third quarter, and once again, the Yellow Jackets offense goes to work and will try to get something to happen. There is a fumble. Foster was on the carry. It is stripped and grabbed by Austin Floor of Butler, and he runs into the end zone for a touchdown. What a play there by the Aviators. Just as I was remarking that Butler was held scoreless in this quarter, Butler's defense once again able to come up with a touchdown. And that was Flory. I will get that pronunciation right. Austin Flory, a 6'0" senior, strong safety for the Aviators. There is the extra point attempt in once again for Butler. Is Griffin Bradley. The kick is up, and it is good. Butler leads Sydney 28-0 with 27 seconds left in the third quarter. This is scoresbroadcast.com.
We don't just build homes, we build neighborhoods. Wygant Real Estate and Development in Minster is the region's only full-service real estate building and development company. For over 44 years, Wygant has been your neighbor. We assist residents in West Central Ohio in buying, selling, and building homes, farms, and commercial and industrial properties. Our 70-lot Stonegate subdivision is one of Wygant's newest neighborhoods, located on the northeast side of Minster. Wygant is also offering lots in Park Place and Deer Crossing subdivisions, both in Minster and in Woodland subdivision in Botkins. Custom build your new home in one of our subdivisions or on your own building lot. There is no substitute for experience. We continue to provide quality and service to you, the customer. Reserve your lot today or to sell or build your new home. Call us at 419-628-3107. Call Wygant Real Estate and Development today.
Foster fields the kickoff. He nearly lost it at the 5, but he's able to get it, and he gets a decent return all the way up to close to the 30. And the clock will stop with 18 seconds left as Sydney's offense will come out again. So again, that was Austin Florey, who stripped the ball from Foster and ran in for a touchdown. What was his return after that strip fumble? About 20 yards or
23
something?
23 is what I had.
23 yards?
The ball was snapped from the 18, so that's close.
Just a tremendous athletic play, and he was off to the races. I think Sydney may have thought that he was down or something, too. I think some of the Butler players did as well, based on the reaction. But Florey and a few of his other Butler teammates knew he was, and it went to block for him, and that was that. You knew, basically, once he had it, he had pretty much open field ahead of him. And he ran left towards the visitor sideline and went in to score. Sydney runs it up the middle on the final play of the third quarter. So we go to the fourth quarter after another defensive touchdown for the Butler. The Aviators are ahead 28-0 heading into the fourth. This is scoresbroadcast.com.
Struggling with lower back pain? Recovering from an injury? Jim Spitzer at Pinnacle Sports Therapy in Fort Laramie can make sure you get the care you need to get you back to your normal activities sooner and to get you moving forward again. Jim Spitzer at Pinnacle Sports Therapy has 21 years experience in outpatient settings and treating athletes of all types. He's a fully qualified and licensed physical therapist and a good guy to know. Jim develops a customized treatment plan and a specialized home program. He treats all kinds of sports injuries, plus orthopedic neck and back pain, bulging discs, headaches, and other ailments. Pinnacle Sports Therapy accepts all major insurances. A doctor's referral may not be needed. For 14 years, Jim Spitzer has served all ages at Versailles Physical Therapy and Sports Rehabilitation in Versailles. Pinnacle Sports Therapy, 700 East Park in Fort Laramie. Phone 937-419-1491 to start moving forward.
Vandalia Butler leads Sydney 28-0 as we start the fourth quarter. Aviators have two defensive touchdowns in this game. Most recently, in the final seconds of the third quarter, a strip sack and touchdown return by Austin Florey. There is another run by Foster. He again ran on the final play of the third quarter and runs to start things off here in the fourth. Didn't gain much on either, and Sydney is now facing a third and nine. Yellow Jackets are at their own 29. Heron with Foster in the backfield. Heron drops back to pass, and it is a good way away from Mitchell Davis, the intended receiver, out of bounds. So Sydney will again bring on the punt team. And we've talked about it a lot tonight, and you never know what really would have been, but can't help but think, if you're a Sydney fan, or if you follow the Yellow Jackets, what could have happened if Julius Spradling and Tate Fleming also were on the field for Sydney? They again had combined to score 20 touchdowns. And as Chuck noted earlier tonight, Spradling was just as impactful of a defensive player as he was on offense. Still got to play with who you've got, Chuck, and Sydney trying to figure things out here now. In the final weeks of the season, there is a punt, takes a couple of bounces, and then it is picked up by Butler's Tavian Crump, and he returns it decently, gets it across into Sydney territory, and is forced out of bounds around the 45.
It's close to another block punt.
Yes, it was as well, yep. Again, this Butler defense, we've talked about it a lot tonight, too, and it's just as good as we thought when we watched the Aviators back in week three on TV against Troy.
Well, the problem for Sydney is if you got to keep back everybody to protect, which means that you get no pressure downfield after you punt, and that's what happened. Nice return.
Seibert under center now as Butler comes out. Ball spotted at the Sydney 46. First and 10 from there from the Aviators. Here is a nice run on first down. That's a gain of five or six. And that was Rammel Hayden on the carry for the Aviators. They call it officially a gain of 5, so it is at the 41. Trash blowing around the field here now really shows what the wind is like. Looking over at Butler's sideline, I can see their play call sheets, laminated sheets that the coaches have attached to their hips, really flapping as well. Sydney able to sniff that run out. It was a run up the middle. I believe on that one, that was Carter Collingsworth, who was in on the tackle. Or no, that was not Collingsworth, number 54. That was Eli Biddle, number 64, I believe, Chuck. But we've talked about several times tonight. He has been very active. Been one of Sydney's leading tacklers in recent weeks as well. There is a decent run as Hayden gets a handoff. He's able to get it all the way down inside the 35 for a first down. And the chains move. Butler, if able to get at least a field goal here, would be able to start a running clock. But this has been one of the quicker Sydney games I've seen this season. I don't know how it compares to the games you guys have broadcast, Chuck, the rest of the year, but could be one of our quicker games all year on scores, too.
Last week's game took about 7.5 hours. Okay, maybe not quite that, but it felt like it.
Butler completes a pass out towards the visitor's sideline. I believe that was Corey Rice who caught it for the Aviators out there. It is a gain of 3. Ball right at the 30. Second and 7 from there. 8:43 and counting in the fourth quarter. Seibert hands off to,
I think it's Hayden.
Again, yep. He's gotten a lot of carries here in recent possessions. It is a short gain. They mark that at the 29. And it is a 3rd and 6 from there for Butler. Seibert takes the snap under center, rolls out under pressure, completes a short pass to a receiver right in front of him. No. Did his ball pop out, or did it come out after he was on the ground?
Yeah, it was after. I think Seibert could have ran for the first down.
Catching the pass for the Aviators was Sam Mitchell. And it will be 4 yards shy of the first down.
Mitchell Davis made a nice play there, kept him right where he caught the ball.
And we've talked about him on offense a lot tonight. Since Spradling and Fleming have left the field of play in recent weeks due to an injury and being dismissed, respectively, Davis has gotten a lot more throws towards his way, but he is also a defensive starter in the secondary for the Yellow Jackets.
We had a 5-yard run on fourth down, got the first down.
It was a run towards the right. I believe that was Hayden again, who ran towards the sideline there to come out. It is now 1st and 10. I believe that is Caden Bates, who's back in. Seibert hands it off to taking the snap. It was a quick handoff. I don't think that was Bates who got it. I believe that was Ravon Brown.
They had another movement situation. This guy on the side, I just think he likes to do that, is why he does it.
So Butler runs back here as they mark off the penalty. And that is going to move it all the way back to I think the 28 or 9 or so, well, they will spot it, and it will be a 1st and 15 from there. Aviators taking their time, working this clock. Again, if they score, they can make it a running clock, but they're doing an excellent job just milking it as it is. And in motion, Cyber takes a snap. A flurry of flags comes in. Still waiting word from the officials here. Looks like it's going to be...
Movement. Sydney jumped right over the top of the ball, and the Butler kid moved, but... Well, that shouldn't have been a dead ball. If they're saying that was illegal, two people moving, that shouldn't have been a dead ball. They should have ran the play.
As it stands, it is now going to be a 1st and 20 from the 33. Clock continues to run, though. We are rapidly approaching the 6-minute mark here. Aviators ahead of Sydney, 28-0. And here we'll finally get the first down of this set, and it is a handoff to Hayden, and he gains about 4 or so on that one, and another flag. This came in after the play, I think. Though I had a post in my way from where it was in the field, so I'm not entirely sure there.
Well, he's showing a face mask, but he wasn't even close to the play. I'm not sure what the call is. They called it on Sydney. So it must have been somebody blocking downfield away from the play that grabbed a face mask.
So... after that, it will now be a 2nd down and 3 from the right at the 15.
The officials have taken over the game.
Well, at any rate, the clock has been moving. And they move the ball up now. And... get the clock rolling again. 5:46 and counting. 3rd down and 2 officially from the 15 for Butler. And there is another flag. And that is a false start, I believe they signal against Butler. So say goodbye to the 3rd and 2 and say hello to a 3rd and 7. And coming up here after the game, we'll have a complete look at statistics and some scores from around the area as well.
Clancy's players of the game, I think I've already picked them.
A lot to choose from Butler tonight, that's for sure. They've had several players that have made big plays. Look forward to your selections there. Now we're finally going to get this 3rd and 7. 5:08 and counting as the clock has continued to run through all these penalties. Seibert tosses it back to Hayden.
Yep.
And he gets close to the 1st down. Looks like he'll be about a yard or 2 shy. I think officially 2 yards where they spot it. So it will be a 4th and 2. Ball will be right back on the 15, I think. Butler going for it here.
Yeah, kicking the field goal into this 70-mile-an-hour wind, probably not a good choice.
Seibert under center. He tosses it back, this time to Caden Bates. And Bates runs to his right, and I think he's over the 1st down point by about a yard or so. So he is to the, I think, 14. They officially spot that at 13.
Yeah, right inside the 13.
So the drive continues for Butler. Aviators have really eaten a lot of time off the clock here. There is another handoff to Bates. He runs up the middle, gains a couple. Second and 9 coming up. Ball is at the 12. Hearing some chatter here in the press box. We may have a rainstorm coming our way. I was wondering, based on the weather report, and I think we're going to get this one concluded by the time that rolls in.
I hope I was smart enough to close my sunroof. I don't remember.
Another run up the middle by Butler. Sydney Line met the running back there. That was Bates on the carry. And Butler facing a 3rd and 9 from the 12. 2:50 and counting. Coming up next week here on Scorers Broadcast, Jack Kramer will be back. Ian Chuck will have the call of Fort Recovery at Anna. Week 10 still under consideration right now. Seibert takes it, rolls left, open field in front of him, and he runs into the end zone for a touchdown. 12-yard touchdown run by Seibert to solidify it. That pushes the margin to running clock territory.
Yeah, the clock's running now, so that's good.
I see that. And Griffin Bradley in for the extra point. Kick is up, and it is good. After a 12-yard touchdown run by Luke Seibert, the Aviators have a 35-0 lead over Sydney. This is scoresbroadcast.com.
Steve and Ted and Anna are your neighbors, your friendly local HVAC, plumbing, and electrical experts. We service, sell, and install residential and commercial heating and cooling systems. Complete plumbing and electrical services, too. Steve Hooker and Ted Burning started Steve and Ted Services in 2002 and have been a household name ever since. Phone 419-628-2645. Steve and Ted's, your local Lennox dealer, with only the finest heating and cooling products. So get to know your neighbors, Steve Hooker and Ted Burning, at steveandtedservices.com.
That 12-yard touchdown run by Luke Seibert, your Wisebridge play of the fourth quarter. Make your next play with Wisebridge Wealth Management in Sydney. Begin your retirement wealth, estate, and tax planning with Wisebridge. Wisebridge, your bridge to a secure future using simple, visible strategies and solutions. Make your next play call to Wisebridge at 937-518-1776.
1776.
All securities through Money Concepts Capital Corp. Member FINRA SIPC. Wisebridge Wealth Management is not affiliated with Money Concepts Capital Corp.
In for another Butler kickoff is Griffin Bradley, and it is fielded at about the 30.
Maybe after, by Butler.
Yes. After initially hitting off of a Sydney player, I think the Yellow Jackets may have it, and
yeah. They
do. Looks like that was Ethan New who grabbed it for Sydney. As Chuck said, though, Butler nearly had it. Doesn't really matter, though, with the running clock, because you could assume that whoever had it is just going to quickly finish the last minute here. We are right at a minute left. Tucker Heron comes back out one more time for the Yellow Jackets, though. We'll see what Sydney tries to do here. In the final few seconds, it's a handoff to Foster. He runs up the middle, gains about 5 or 6. Again, Clancy Stars of the Game coming up here in our post-game coverage on scoresbroadcast.com. And Chuck will have a complete recap of tonight's statistics. We got a few area scores as well. Heron hands it off once more to Foster. He gets a first down, breaks loose up to 50 to 40. Goes up the visitor sideline and goes out of bounds. That was the biggest offensive play of the night for Sydney. And I do not think They'll get a playoff, another one off, and they won't. So that ends it. Vandalia Butler beats Sydney 35-0 here tonight at Sydney Memorial Stadium. The Yellow Jackets move, or drop, I should say, to 4-3 on the year. Excuse me, 4-4, that evens their record on the year. And Butler improves to 6-2. This is the fifth consecutive win tonight for the Aviators, and it is the second consecutive lopsided loss for Sydney, which lost 47-14 to Tippecanoe last week. 35-0 loss tonight to the Aviators. When we come back, we'll have our Clancy Stars of the Game and a complete statistic recap. We'll be back. This is scoresbroadcast.com.
Put Burke to work. Burke Petroleum in Minster now serves all your propane needs. That's right. Put Burke to work for propane, gas, diesel, lubricants, coolants, metalworking fluids, and more. Burke Petroleum in Minster has served West Central Ohio with premium products and outstanding service for nearly half a century. And now, Burke supplies propane. It's the green energy choice. Clean and efficient. Burke Petroleum, serving the region's residential, farm, commercial, and industrial customers. 315 West 1st in Minster. Inquire and request delivery at burkepetroleum.com. That's Burke, B-U-R-K-E, petroleum.com. Phone 800-776-3097. Put Burke to work.
One of the most highly respected businesses in Shelby County is Saul McGill and Tangeman Funeral Home on South Ohio in Sydney.
We have been serving Sydney and their surrounding communities for 155 years. We offer traditional and cremation funeral services and complete funeral prearrangements to meet the needs of all families.
Saul McGill and Tangeman Funeral Home, a continuing tradition since 1866. Online at saul-mcgillandtangemanfh.com.
Welcome back to Sydney Memorial Stadium, where Vandalia Butler beats Sydney 35-0. Sydney was able to stay close for a while, Chuck, but that Butler defense was just too much for the Yellow Jackets to deal with tonight, especially without their two most productive offensive players.
Absolutely. They had 75 yards in each half, 150 for the game. Four first downs, four turnovers. It's going to get you beat. Butler, on the other hand, not a great offensive night. They ended up with 266 total yards. They had 12 first downs, no turnovers. That was one of the differences. And going with the Clancy's players of the game for the Yellow Jackets, I'm going to go with Eli Biddle and Mitchell Davis. And on the Butler side, I'm going to go with Caden Bates.
Those are your Clancy's Stars of the Game. Clancy's, nothing fancy, just fantastic food. This is scoresbroadcast.com.
Hot, delicious home-cooked meals are a hit at Clancy's Restaurant in Sydney. All-you-can-eat fish on Friday, chicken on Saturday and Sunday.
Oh, I totally like the international cuisine at Clancy's. The first and third Wednesday of each month, we plan our schedules around it. I especially like the Greek and Chinese cuisine.
Nothing fancy at Clancy's, just fantastic food.
Without traveling to Dayton, I can enjoy authentic international cuisine right here in Sydney.
Teens fill their tummies at Clancy's, too.
Oh, the young crowd loves Clancy's. I always see them at after-school activities with the brown Clancy's to-go bags, and I just know they love them, and they love the sandwiches.
And what's your favorite sandwich at Clancy's?
Oh, definitely the topper. It's probably my favorite sandwich over all the Wendy's or Burger King sandwiches.
Eat in, drive up, order out. Clancy's, 1250 Wapak in Sydney. Phone ahead at 492-8880.
Clancy's is priced just right for the whole family.
Daily dinner specials under $7, complete breakfast under $4 at Clancy's.
I've got a job for you, or should I say a career, a rewarding career in advanced manufacturing. Today, computer-controlled machines are cutting steel like butter. You see, manufacturers are innovating the way things are made by creating new high-tech processes. The specialized skills for such processes are acquired at the region's educational and training programs, which are supported by Knox Machinery in Franklin, Ohio. To promote this endeavor, Knox Machinery is pleased to partner with scoresbroadcast.com. As your local Mazak machine tool dealer, Knox has been a full-service dealer of metal-cutting CNC equipment since 1996. Mazak machine tools are made right across the river in Florence, Kentucky. They are proud to represent a product that is locally manufactured in the USA. For applications assistance, training, machine tool service, parts, or to learn more about exciting careers in manufacturing, just call 1-877-KNOX-CNC and let the in-house staff go to work for you. Knox Machinery in Franklin, the first choice of metal cutting manufacturers in southern and west central Ohio.
Highly regarded with an outstanding reputation, Allen Ball Insurance in Jackson Center has been doing business for over 5 decades after a rather unique beginning. Allen Ball agent Greg Woolley recalled that his grandpa would visit with farmers from Shelby and Logan counties.
And he got to know them all one by one, and he earned their trust and continued business by sharing with them and sitting with them at their house over a cup of coffee and a handshake.
And many cups of coffee later, Allen Ball Insurance took off.
Our dad, he actually joined with my grandpa in 1979, and they moved here into town in Jackson Center, and they grew the business.
And made connections with numerous companies like Ohio Mutual Insurance Group.
They share our values, and they have products that are specially designed to help protect clients and their families.
Allen Ball agent Ryan Woolley.
Well, today, Greg and I, we continue to serve clients throughout West Central Ohio and the entire state, for that matter. Customer service still comes first. When possible, we like to go out and meet people face-to-face and still like to do business with a handshake.
Over that warm cup of coffee, so Allen Ball can gain your trust and a complete understanding of all your insurance needs. Allen Ball Insurance, 105 East Pike in Jackson Center, at allenballinsurance.com. That's A-L-L-E-N-B-A-U-G-H. Let Allen Ball go to work for you.
Welcome back to Sydney Memorial Stadium. I'm Brian Billing alongside Chuck McBee. The Yellow Jackets fall 35-0 to Vandalia Butler tonight. Some other scores for our other three Shelby County football teams. Marion Local beat Anna 42-8. That one a final. Last we saw, Fort Laramie was beating Van Buren 28-12. That was with 8 minutes and 43 seconds left in the fourth quarter. And a second half score, Lehman was on top of Covington 50-6. Coming up next week here on scoresbroadcast.com, Jack will be back along with Chuck McBee. They'll have the call of Fort Recovery at Anna. Sydney again falls to 4-4 overall. The Yellow Jackets will host Piqua here at Sydney Memorial Stadium next week and are scheduled to wrap up regular season play by traveling to Troy in Week 10. Butler moves to 5-3 overall on the year, and the Aviators are scheduled to travel to West Carrollton next week and host Stebbins in Week 10. So, excuse me, I said that wrong. Butler improves to 6-2 on the year. The Aviators looking to finish 8-2 with wins in the final 2 weeks. Chuck, any final thoughts tonight?
We talked about it. Sydney missing some players. One made a bad decision. One got hurt. And they were missed tonight. But, you know, 35-0, it's hard to think the two guys were going to make up that much.
Thanks again for listening here tonight on scoresbroadcast.com. For Chuck McBee, I am Brian Filling. Thanks so much for listening. Next week, Fort Recovery at Anna. This is scoresbroadcast.com.
This scoresbroadcast.com high school sports presentation was brought to you by these 12 anchor sponsors. American Architectural Glass in Fort Laramie, your amazing glass connection. AAG Inc. is the industry's clear choice. Airstream in Jackson Center, expand your career. Join the growing team now at Airstream. Barker Insurance on the north edge of Sydney, south of Anna on 25A, your number one insurance agency in the region. Barker, for sure. Clancy's Restaurant on Wapakoneta Avenue in Sydney. Clancy's, nothing fancy, just fantastic food. Dickman Electrical and Industrial Supplies in Sydney, Salina, Greenville, and Marysville. Hundreds of brands, 4 locations, 1 solution. Gothney Furniture and Mattress Center in Sydney. High quality furniture, priced right. We've got you covered. GOFFENA. GothneyFurniture.com. Lacow Equipment in Jackson.
Jackson Center, a Scores founding partner in 2006. Quality parts for highway maintenance equipment all over the world. Frisch's in Sydney, Troy, and Tip City, home of the great Big Boy and delicious pumpkin pie. What's your favorite thing at Frisch's? Osgood Bank in Osgood and Chickasaw in Mercer County and in Fort Laramie and Indian Lake. Do well. Be good. Osgood Bank. Knox Machinery in Franklin, serving Dayton, Cincinnati, and most of Ohio. The CNC Solution. New and used machines, parts, and service. Schnipple Construction in Botkins. Building excellence. I'll bet you didn't know. Schnipple builds Marriott's and Holiday Inns. SecureCom in Minster. SecureCom. Online at SecureCom.com. The pros in protection. And the Sydney Daily News with the most read sports page around. This is Scores Broadcast.com. Scores. SCORES. The Shelby County Online Radio Entertainment System. We're the radio on your phone for high school sports. We thank you for listening.